member of the 61 Yanks?
He might be Casey Stengel. Ralph Houk.
Winner.
He's Ralph Houk.
We have a winner.
With Ralph Houk.
Right.
Goodbye, Cameron. Oh, and Cameron, one more thing.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
God damn, I did. I do.
Does anybody know what's going on here?
Bye-bye.
Not really. I'm surprised Jag hasn't run in here.
This is flying carpet.
What's going on? We leave for a couple of weeks and bingo. Bingo, baby.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, fellas.
You know, we've not even officially started, so don't count this.
No.
In our 2006 broadcast history.
We're warming up.
This is off the record here as we're getting set. You know, what we want to do is we want to bring ourselves up to the level of the talent that we are now surrounded by here on Free FM.
Mm-hmm.
An incredible, just murderer's row. It's batting practice. No pepper. No pepper.
Right. Little BP.
Hello.
Mike O'Meara.
Yes.
How does it feel to be sitting across from DCR TV's Man of the Year?
I'm delighted. I am delighted. And you are to be congratulations. Congratulations.
Oh, yes.
On that honor.
You were hoping. I know.
You joined the ranks of Ron Bennington and Fez Watley.
I saw that. That's nice of that guy.
That was very nice of him to do that. I like what he said. He had some nice things to say.
Dream come true.
That's another radio website. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
I call in here from Las Vegas, home of Penn Jillette. Got a buddy who works at a convenience store. Ben comes in, buys a super squishy or, one of their big drinks, whatever. When he gets his change back, which is single dollar bills, he asks my buddy, who's the clerk, for a Sharpie. My buddy gives him the Sharpie. He actually crosses out "In God We Trust" on all of his dollar bills before putting them in his pocket. Then driving out of the parking lot, my buddy looks over and sees his car as he's leaving. License plate, it says atheist.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice.
How hardcore is that?
That's hardcore.
Crossing out "In God We Trust."
Well, but you know what? Someone should call Penn and tell him that would be something nice he could mention on his show.
Yep.
On the Penn Jillette show here on Free FM. You know, now, unlike some of these other shows that we're talking about, Penn's a guy who really does have some talent.
Comedic talent.
I mean, the guy has the potential to be an outstanding broadcaster.
Funny, funny man. Very funny man.
Just like Buzz.
That's right.
Right? The guy's a hardcore Las Vegas. Las Vegas pride right there. Thanks, guys.
Buzz, you are going to realize that potential one day.
I am.
You got every chance.
I hope it happens here.
You got every chance to make it in this business, Buzz. I swear to God you do. All right. Well, I got plenty of stuff to tell you about from the vacation and from the Christmas party. And
I'm out.
You're not out. You're in all the way, Mike.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Oh, and did we mention that yesterday was Elvis's birthday? We'll have to do something today on the show, man.
Maybe one of our best bits ever.
Okay.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hello.
Hi, Julia.
Hello.
Oh, hi there.
Hello.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
There he is now wearing his, you look like that guy in the Super Skins uniform.
Exactly. Skin tight.
Because you're like a superhero.
Hi. It's me, Super Goose.
How's your pneumonia?
Pneumonia, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Rob just had the best vacation ever.
Oh, my God.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Fast Acting Inhaler and all the ships at sea. Their recent vacation was the inspiration for the movie Hostel. It's Dr. Hostel and Mike O'Malley.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
O'Mori. Mike O'Mori.
O'Mori.
All right, here we go, everybody. Here goes nothing. This is the Don and Mike show. And it's a new episode on this Monday.
It's
going to be 1-9-0-6.
Hi, Donna. Mike Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
And you ain't retarded. And here's your phone numbers. You can call us from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. That's the main number. If you're listening on Free FM with a killer lineup in Washington, D.C., you can call 202-432-1067. And if you're listening on the internet somewhere where you can't use an 877 number, call 800-636-1067.
Wonderful.
It's a lot of phone numbers to give out. They're all on our website. Go to DonandMikeWebsite.com. That's where you can also get our warm, refreshing stream. Just sit under the radio, gargle with the stream.
Enjoy it.
It's okay to drink the stream. They'll tell you it's not okay to drink the stream.
Well, they do it in India.
But if you go to DonandMikeWebsite.com, click on Listen Live, and you get the stream. Here it is. Now, it's just a moment. It's going to buffer. It's Michael buffering now. Let's get ready to shake.
Wonderful.
And there you go.
There it is.
And so that's the phone number. Mm-hmm. That's the website.
Right.
If you want to email the show, you can email us instantly at email at donandmikewebsite.com.
Yes, we'd love to hear from you.
And those emails come right here, right into the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Just as fast. Just as fast as can be.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Yeah, you gotta raise the bar now. You know, you really do. Get those emails in as soon as they come across the old computer.
Right. That's right. Lightning fast, Mike.
Yep.
Lightning fast. Right here. Whew. How long until the next break, next show? I mean, not us, of course. I mean, right. The next Dynamite Entertainer coming on Free FM.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, less than 4 hours.
Yeah. Less than 4 hours, the lineup will continue.
Yeah, see, here's where I'm worried about the lineup on the station.
You're worried?
I'm worried about us. Because, for instance, on our show today, let's face it, it's going to be the same crap you've heard for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
It will be us talking about our vacations, about what happened on our vacations. We'll, of course, entertain your idiotic phone calls.
Right.
We've got all the tapes that we didn't get to on vacation, like Regis and Dick Clark, yeah, sounding a lot like Dennis Murphy.
Right.
We've got, an Elvis thing to get to. What I'm very concerned about is that we don't fit in anymore on the station. It seems to me now that the station pretty much has become, let's talk about Bush, or let's talk about what's going on with the crime rate somewhere, and, just want to make sure that we're still cool doing what we're doing.
Well, I hope we are. Nobody has come in to tell us whether we are, because we're looking for a program director.
Nobody has told us to turn down the funny switch.
Right.
So the funny switch is still at 10 right now.
Is the is the funny switch next to the on switch, Don?
Yeah,
that you, Mike, have permanently taped in the on position?
That's right. The funny switch.
Always on.
I always heard it was a funny dial. On switch and a funny dial.
A funny dial.
Yeah, and that's always said.
Dial to the right for funny.
Exactly.
There you go. So it's set at 10 for your listening enjoyment.
Right.
Just at any point, just be advised that if I feel too much pressure from the great superstar lineup that we're surrounded by here with the 61 Yankees, we may break into a talk about, serious stuff happening in Iraq.
We might, right.
You know, why Bush is right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, what you've got to do when you're on a team is you've got to adapt to the team if you want to be a part of the team.
Well, I have prepared over here, a dossier on Dick Cheney's health.
Good.
That I would love to discuss.
Keep that handy.
All the medical reports, and we can get to that anytime you feel it's necessary.
Good old big Dick Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
Really. And my question is, which monkey at which zoo is it that threw the feces on the wall that came up with this lineup? Really. I mean, they've been talking about it for a long time.
Right.
About how they were going to redo all of these Infinity-branded stations
and
make them Free FM.
Right.
And at least here in Washington, this is it?
Oh, you bet it is.
Yes, it is.
This is
yes,
it.
Yes, it
is.
Okay.
I mean, right now, the lineup we're on today, I think everything you hear today is the way it's going to be for a long time.
I would bet at least for 30 to 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have to ask our listeners, beg our listeners, implore our listeners now. I don't know if we've ever said this before. I really, and I swear to Christ, I'm serious about this. Serious is free to see. You know I mean this.
Mm-hmm.
We need your help, because I got the feeling that if you don't like this show, what I mean is, if you're not already a fan of it, there's not going to be a chance anybody's going to be dropping by and sampling it and saying, hey, that's a pretty good show. So what we've got to do is make sure the listeners that we have continue to listen in the numbers that they do, even as the shows around us begin to start
settle
to,
in.
Start, yeah, yeah, buzz.
Very good that, terminology.
That's a good. You know, I'm thinking something like well, quicksand, like you know, as you know, as slowly they like. And Bill O'Reilly, the greatest. It's like that scene in Neighbors,
yeah.
where what's his name? Where Dan Aykroyd goes out in the field by where John Belushi is by the swamp, and ends up actually sinking underneath.
I think you might be jumping a little too hastily. I'm getting the impression as I look around here, there's a great feeling of, isn't this the place to be?
Isn't this great? Like Damone said in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Exactly. And once we
can I congratulate
up,
the people here, though, the power of the brain trust, for finding it, for finally finding the it.
Mm-hmm.
And that it is consistency. Congratulations for finally finding consistency. I'm just delighted. That cough sounds pretty nasty, Rob.
No, it's fine. That's
it's just fine.
Cough.
It's a good cough. Is there a health segment on today's show?
You're listening to it.
Jesus Christ. Hello, Don and Mike show.
See this funny dial? It goes to 11. That's one more than 10, isn't it?
There we go. That gives me confidence right there. It goes to a phone call like that.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, we can't get you in Vermont right now.
Well, listen, a lot of people don't get us, as I just mentioned. That's going to be part of the problem now, that we're going to have people who just don't get what we're doing.
I think he's talking about receiving us.
I get it. You know, what do you want me to do about it, pal? I mean, really, like I got a button here?
But you're in Burlington?
Yeah.
And it's not being broadcast?
No, you're supposed to be on WXEO.
Yes. Yeah, what are you getting instead?
Sean Hannity.
Well, it's probably just another case of Infinity, or yanking us off a station. Or your local station yanking us off. Or they put us on another station. Who knows?
Or maybe Sean Hannity's just better than us.
Yeah.
Well, it's time to wake up and, you know, smell the coffee.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We've always known that.
Well, let's find out about
that. Sean Hannity.
Let's find out about that. Because I was checking our affiliate list before we went on the air today.
The expanding one?
Looks to me like our affiliate list has got the Asian flu. It's got the bird flu, dude.
Right.
I mean, let me see. This is another thing I don't understand.
I don't understand how that list could be shrinking when we're the priority. I don't understand that. I really don't.
It takes time.
I go back to the fact that... Oh, Christ, where is that list, Roger?
There's an incubation period.
No, what we are is, you know what we are? We are a tax write-off.
We have it in an iron lung.
Darn
for
good
Westwood
one.
We really are, because remember when we used to complain all the time about how bad they treated us and how we didn't get... Can you find the list?
Yeah.
How we didn't get any money or anything for doing a syndicated show and everything. Well, we made a big, big stink about it, and... Really, I mean, I'm not kidding you this time, kids.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
They just drove up to our house with a truck full of money and said, here you go, take this money. And you know what? This will put the pressure on Westwood One.
Right.
Because if we don't make all of this money in advertising sales, well, then we're going to look like the biggest idiots in the world because we're paying you guys all of this money to syndicate your show, which is why you never hear us bitch anymore about anything because, hey, listen, the checks never bounce.
Yeah. And how did they respond to that pressure?
Well, I'm waiting for the list now, Mike, the affiliate list.
It's such a priority for us that we always keep it close by.
It's being retyped right
now. It actually would cause a Great Depression if we looked at that list.
Well, no, I think we should look.
Are we in the 20s yet?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean,
have
we diminished into the 20s?
Hold on. Here we go. Let's count. Washington, D.C.
One.
All right, keep counting. Now, hold your applause at the end, Robbie. Two, Baltimore.
All right.
Three, Pittsburgh. Four, Reno. Five, Portland.
Maine or Oregon?
Maine. Six, Palm Springs. Seven, Burlington, Vermont. Oh. Although, you know, that may be implied.
Okay.
Eight, Iowa City, Iowa. Nine, Rochester, New York. 10, Wichita. 11, Sacramento. 12, Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
Where's that?
It's in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I lost my count here. Charleston, South Carolina.
30.
Burlington, Iowa.
13, yeah. 14.
Las Vegas.
15.
Lafayette, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado Springs. Ocean City. Spokane. York, Pennsylvania. San Luis Obispo, California. because I've taken Tampa Bay off the list,
uh-huh.
right? And in Bakersfield, what is this? Oh, we're now being run at 10 o'clock at night in Bakersfield.
10?
That's a half.
So there you go. What's the total number, Buzz?
Well, if you still count Burlington, Vermont, that's 21 and a half affiliates.
We have 20 affiliates now?
We're 20 and a half.
You're goddamn right, Mike.
Man, we're making money for nothing. We're getting paid, and we don't have to do anything. Fantastic.
We reached a point a couple of years ago. Well, really, you know, we would. I know a lot of you thought it was great radio, and we enjoyed doing it, fighting to stay on small stations like in Mobile, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
The company would come to us and say, "Really, you do more harm than good when you do that. Just please stay out of it. Leave the driving to us."
Right.
And, you know, so that's why I got to think right now. At least from Westwood One, mm-hmm. from that part of our how we stand, we're a tax write off.
Yeah, because they're obviously doing nothing.
No, and
maybe they always were doing nothing.
At one time, didn't we have like 40 stations?
We had 48.
Yeah,
we're a loss leader. As
didn't
they
we
call
have
it
over 50 at one point?
I think so.
Jeez,
you know, I've just decided this is maybe not the best way to start 2006.
I love it.
Although, you know what? Hold on. What am I talking about? What do I care about being syndicated? Because we get our money from that, and people can hear us on the Internet. And besides, we're surrounded by the best lineup of all time. We're part of the best lineup of all time.
Glass half full. You know, I appreciate you coming in here to start 2006 by cheerleading.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and maybe that's our role. You know, because we don't talk about politics. Maybe we are the cheerleaders. I think that's what we are. We're the mm-hmm. cheerleaders. Rah, rah.
All right, now hold on. Just to tell you, they've come in. Tom Likas,
mm-hmm.
a guy who is low on the food chain like us,
mm-hmm.
he has 17 affiliates.
See? He only has 17.
But his 17 are better than our 21.
Oh, okay.
Mm. I mean, like all these news stations are signing on. That's why he's getting a bunch of news stations now.
Mm-hmm.
He's going on all the news stations that they're signing on.
Well, he's on later.
No, he's on the West Coast, same time as us.
Okay. All right.
Same time. Same exact time.
Same exact time.
I mean, it's 3 to 7 on the West Coast,
yeah.
But
here he'll be heard at 7 o'clock. But he won't be heard because we've got Jay Severin.
We're
full. There's no room for more talent.
Jay Severin. So, let's begin the year 2006.
We have depth, though. We're deep.
Mm-hmm.
We're deep.
Mm-hmm. Let's start by saying, hooray, we're back.
Mm-hmm.
Hooray for the lineup. Hooray for the affiliate list.
Yes.
And let's move on with the show.
Amen.
Yeah. Let's move on to the show.
I couldn't be more excited.
Hello there. Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hi there.
Boy, am I happy you guys are back, and boy, am I happy you opened the show today with that. This radio station, I'm a house frau, and I listen to a lot of radio because I can do stuff around the house while I'm listening.
Right.
Yeah, baby.
JFK was one of my favorite stations the entire lineup. Until the junkies, I used to think they were the four most moronic guys on the face of the earth until Rosenberg came along. Jeez.
Oh, now come on, the junkies are cool.
Oy.
We like the junkies.
I know. But anyway, God.
They've got to be feeling as good as we do, though.
Awful.
Yeah, I'm sure they feel that, you know, being part of the dream team. They, too, are surrounded.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I would describe it like this. They're at one. I just came off a cruise ship with my son,
mm-hmm.
and I still don't remember which they say is the front and the back. But I would say that we're at the front of the ship or at the back. You know, have your ship.
Mm-hmm.
Have your pick on the ship.
Uh-huh.
They're either in the front or we're in the back. It doesn't really matter how the weather's going. It's just that's it's like a picture of a giant cruise liner. And on one end, you have the junkies, and on the other end, you have us. And in the middle, that's where you've just got all of the people that have cabins that don't have windows.
Not even portholes?
No.
Damn
absolutely
it.
Not. No, it's like, it's where the crew has to stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they're playing Irish music down there, like on the Titanic. And dancing. And drinking ale.
That's right. Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay, I was blaming Michael Hughes, but if it's Cameron, he would have
no,
been fired.
No, listen, Cameron has always been, at very best, a puppet, like all of the program directors, so don't blame Cameron.
No.
Really don't blame Cameron.
It's Hughes.
Yeah, you're right, it's him.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Blame him. Hang in there.
Bye-bye.
And if Cameron is Ralph Houck, who Who is Hughes?
Hi, I'm Cameron Gray, Operations Director. Don't blame me.
Okay. He'll be Lou Gehrig. Only because that would mean... That would
eventually.
Be neat. Eventually, we'd all be... Eventually, we'd all be donating... the Michael Hughes disease.
Yes.
Hello. You know, to solve it, ALS.
We haven't found a cure, but there is hope.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
How did you lose half your affiliates overnight?
George Lopez.
I sort of think it's been a slower process. We've just never bothered to really look at the list.
21? No, 20.
21. I would say the guy from... John just came in with a note saying that the station in Burlington, we're on the FM, we're not on the AM.
Oh, okay. Well, then that counts. It's 21.
So it's... So
21.
Yeah,
21 and a half.
21.
21.
21. 21 mighty, mighty big affiliates.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, kicking ass we are with that.
And growing every day.
That's right.
Subtracting every day.
That's right.
Shrinking every day.
That's
right.
That's absolutely right.
Settling.
Hello there. Don and Mike show.
Settling.
Hello.
Hey, Mike, you took my You've Got 21, man. But you guys are surrounded by junk. So go straight in to tell us how wonderful your vacations were, man.
Okay,
ma'am.
Thank you,
ma'am.
We will
come on, ma'am.
We'll tell you
go straight
come
into
on.
Your vacations. Come on.
We'll tell you.
Enough of your bitching.
We will tell you.
Quit your bitching.
And listen, it's not bitching. I swear it's
not
to Christ,
bitching when you present it the way we do.
I have a smile on my face.
Right.
You know what this is? This is like, well, no, I can't say it's like one of our soldiers because I don't want to diminish what they're doing.
No.
You know what this is like? This is like a man who has to work in a shoe department, and it's a very hot day, and they have a special for women who have feet over size 10. And it's his job all day to just cram shoes into big, gigantic, fat feet, and his hands end up smelling like
feet.
Mm-hmm. And he goes home at the end of the day, and he smells like feet,
mm-hmm.
yet... Well, I'm not really sure what my point there was.
Oh, you've crystallized it.
I think
me.
You have.
You've described what it is that we're doing here. We're selling shoes.
Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Caressing
hey.
Feet.
Hey.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Don, Mike.
Yeah, hi. Howdy.
Don and Mike Bundy here.
Hi there.
Hey, how's your new radio studio coming along that they're building for you? Has that come along?
You should. They are. It amazes me the construction... can occur that quickly.
It is nice.
You should see it.
Really.
They say that they'll be able to get it done practically overnight as soon as they fix the broken window.
Oui.
You mean the window that was shot out
yes.
2.5 years ago?
Yes.
Right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Windows cost money.
That's right. Somebody write that down. Hello, Don and Mike Shaw. I just want to quote you on that later.
Windows cost money?
When you say, it's one of my resolutions for 2006.
Mm-hmm.
When you say something extremely smart, I'm going to write it down.
Okay. All right. Just remember, Windows cost money.
Mike O'Mara.
2006.
3:35 p.m. Windows cost money. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike. Welcome back.
And I want to say this on the record as well at 3:35.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike, welcome back.
Hi there. Oh, and if I could just tell you one thing. You really want a good time. What you want to do is do what I did on one day on over the vacation. Sneak in. Don't sneak in. Buy a ticket to Brokeback
Mountain.
Broke Dick Mountain. Buy a ticket. And then what you do is when they're cleaning the theater, hide and stay and do what I did. Watch it 8, 9, 10 times in a day.
And you cried every time.
Mm-hmm. Mike, there were tears.
Mm-hmm.
There were lots of fluids.
Sure.
That were coming from me.
Why do you think they have to clean the theater?
Yes, please.
I mean, man, I can't tell you. I've seen the movie, I guess, okay, maybe 20 times.
Mm-hmm. It's a great movie. It's a great movie for the family.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
I love westerns.
Listen, I know we have not been on the air in 3 weeks, but it was funny before we left.
Yes.
It's funnier now.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie is not doing great business, right?
Not doing great business, but it certainly knocked Silverado off the top of my list as my favorite western.
Yeah.
It's really funny. Is. Homo Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I can't believe that's not doing great at the box office.
Mm-hmm. Who knew?
You know. the Bad Monkey's doing okay at the box office.
Well, that's the problem. See, once again, you don't even know when you're making a great point. If they named the movie Homo Cowboys, it would be better. It would do better at the box office.
And I think they should name King Kong Bad Monkey.
Bad Monkey.
Bad Gay Monkey.
Don't get me started on that piece of crap.
Hello.
Hey, Dynamite. Welcome back.
Yes, sir.
Say, remember in college when you had to use the cheap furniture to put your stuff up? And you ended up using bricks as bookends?
Sure, yeah.
You guys are the playboy, the penthouse between two bricks. The junkies are on one side, and whoever the guy is at night now, that heck, you should put Tom Gavin have his own radio show, and he'd do better than the guy in the evening. Okay, but you guys are in the middle, and you're the quality stuff.
Listen, all we really care about is the thank you, my friend. The message of this sermon is,
my friend,
no matter how bad things get around us, please continue to come back to this spot on the dial every day from 3 until 7.
Bookmark us.
When we promise you, you won't hear the crap that you hear, generally speaking, on most of the other hours of the day on the station.
It might be an overused advertising slogan, but I think that you can rest assured that our ads from now on will say, Don and Mike, now more than ever. I like it. I've always liked it.
Yeah. Don and Mike. 21 and counting. 21 and counting.
Counted.
21 affiliates.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Sure.
Fastest growing show on radio.
That's more than 10.
That's one affiliate for every year you and I have been working together.
And I think they can maybe improve on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think they can maybe lose us two this year.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello. I was just, you know, the thing is, I really don't understand how it works that that I think our show's pretty good and that we don't get cleared anywhere. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, if it's us, if we've pissed off someone in the company, if they just don't get what we do, if we don't kiss enough ass at a corporate level. I'm really not sure, but I do know that when I go somewhere, like even down in Tampa, we were just canceled. I am not BSing you, and I tell you that, you know, my son and I would walk around Tampa Bay,
mm-hmm.
and people would actually say, recognize my voice. Not that that's a huge deal, like, mm-hmm. oh, like it's a movie star type thing. You know, you get very, hold on just a second, my friend. You get very surprised. We're on a station that, like, gets a zero rating in Tampa,
mm-hmm.
yet when Bart and I spent a couple days down there, there was a lot of places that we went to where people were hip to the show. And
the guys that I play golf with down there, I want to say they're listening on the internet, I think, today, down at the Pro Shop down in Fort Myers, Florida. But they said when we were canceled in Fort Myers, they said they really enjoyed the Spanish programming. So sure. It was kind of a win-win. Now that we're on the internet, they can listen to both. They can have their little station down there that they kicked us off to put the Spanish format on.
That is great.
A little mini El Zol. Little AM Fort Myers El Zol, I think.
And I'll just say, without giving anything away, but what the hell, I'll tell you. I mean, it's not a... Listen, the guy, the biggest fan of the show that I could find in Tampa, it's just a kind of a tribute to the show,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that we got great listeners, even though our radio stations are falling faster.
Mm-hmm.
Falling faster than Dick Clark's vowels.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming off the cruise ship. Well, hold on. Let me just... What did you want to say? Are you still there? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, yeah. Go ahead. We were talking.
Go ahead, and then I'll say what I was going to say. Go ahead.
Yeah, you let the rest of those clowns in that lineup know you guys are like Sergeant Hulka's big toe.
Okay.
I'm glad I waited for that.
So you were in Tampa.
So we're in Tampa. We were in Tampa Bay. Bart and I went on a cruise. We'll get to this in a second. Anyway, we're coming back through customs, and when we made our trip to Iceland,
mm-hmm.
about 5 years ago, remember we went over there and did a show over there?
Mm-hmm.
We
went to Iceland?
Yes, I'm sure you remember it, Mike. We got the nice zipper bag on
the picture on the wall.
Remember?
You and me in Iceland.
Oh, that's
remember
right.
that? Yeah, there it is. Yeah, we went. Yeah. It's a nice country.
Here's a shock. They sold Cuban cigars there, and I brought some back. And not only did I bring some back, but I had Mike bring some.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had...
My butt still hurts, incidentally.
I think it. Bug brought
that is
some.
No way. I didn't want to be your mule.
Anyway, we're coming through customs. This was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, do you have any Cuban cigars? And I didn't lie. And the guy said, yeah, I got some right there in my bag.
Right. That, of course, is when I burst into tears.
And then he said, what about your friend? And I said, well, you know, he's got some, too.
I confess.
And as it turns out, the people at Customs were very cool with us. They took us away, and they beat us. And
yeah, it was like Midnight Express.
It was, actually, like pre-Lindy. They made us into a nude human pyramid.
Right.
And they took the cigars from us, and they monocled us with the cigars. And
constant hosing us down.
No, what they really did was they called us back to a room, and they said, we have to take these cigars from you, and you have to sign this piece of paper saying that, you know, you're sorry, and then...
You'll never do this
and
again.
Don't worry about it. And they couldn't have been cooler, and we didn't say anything about it on the air,
right.
Because...
You were afraid.
Yes.
We were all afraid.
Terribly afraid.
Do you remember when the customs guy that came up to you and said, what is the hand that you smoke cigars with? He said, you can either leave this airport with that hand intact. Almost healed. Now.
It's great, man. It was just like Casino. So, now... Bart and I are getting off a cruise ship in Tampa Bay 2 days ago. I have no Cuban cigars. I have learned my lesson. Don't bring them back. So we're coming through, and they swipe Bart's passport, and then the guy swipes mine through the little electronic thing, and I can see from where I'm standing, and he's sitting behind this thing, you know, it's like don't step in front of the blue line.
Right.
But I can still see the screen like going like super red and blue. Like,
slot machine.
Like it's a woo, 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 woo. So he says, okay, you guys are going to have to go stand over there.
Warning, warning, warning.
So we got to go to this other area where they're going to rifle through our stuff. And I said, Bart said, what's going on? I said, oh, you know, I'm positive. I'm in the system. It's because of Iceland. You know, I started lecturing him. I said, see, it's a good thing we didn't bring cigars back.
Mm-hmm.
I told you I got nailed one time. So anyway, guy now in a separate area asks us to put our bags up on the table. And the guy works for customs, and he starts to unzip my son's bag, which is just full of his, like, dirty socks and just smells like crap.
Jokes on them.
He ignores it, of course, and just looking down said, so, where are you from? I said, D.C. He said, what do you do? I said, oh, I work in radio. He said, really? The guy says, no, I'm not kidding, but the guy looks at me and says, are you Don? I said, yeah, I'm Don. He says, is that Bart? And I said, yeah. And he
very
said,
cool.
Guy said, oh, you know, you just got taken off the air down here.
Right.
And I said, yeah, I realize that. And then we had a very nice chat with this guy.
Cool.
And he said to me, he said, do you know why you were flagged? And I said, is it my sparkling personality or was it, you know, was it that time that we were coming back from Iceland?
They don't forget.
Yeah, and he said, yeah. He said, don't bring Cuban cigars back.
They don't forget.
But anyway, I guess my point is that the guy was very cool, and he was a listener to this little pissant show that we do down in Tampa Bay, which was on a station that got a zero rating, and now they took us off down there, and they've got, I'm not sure, I know what it is. The guy told me, the customs guy told me, I said, what did they replace us with? Because I'm always curious.
Yes.
Country music, a simulcast of Q105.
Yeehaw. Oh, boy.
You know, because there's not enough country music stations.
Q105 country now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's not enough country stations in Tampa to begin with.
Right.
There's like 8 country stations in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
What you need is another one on AM.
Right. So, yeehaw.
I can't.
Brokeback FM.
Can't figure it, Buzz.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Anyway, that's how we start 2006.
Uh-huh.
That's the assessment of where the show is.
Right. It's a party. Let the party begin.
It's the same show as it was in 2005, except we've lost a couple of our affiliate stations. But the good news is here in Washington, D.C., we're now part of what I'm sure will go down as one of the most memorable radio lineups in history. Okay? Mark my words.
That's the word you want to use? Memorable? Won't soon be forgotten. Do you think memorable is strong enough? I like exquisite.
Infamous.
That's a good word.
One of the most infamous lineups in radio history.
I got one.
Okay.
This always works. You know me. You know me, Mr. Vegas.
Okay.
Dazzling. The most
electrifying,
dazzling lineup in radio.
Okay. We're both just dancing around the same thing.
Right. Welcome to our suck fest.
Boy, it's good to be back. So, that's the end of the pep talk here.
Three to seven
East Coast time will be your oasis. Okay? That's it. Well, you want to get away from everything else that this radio station is cramming down your throats.
World getting too serious for you?
come here.
From 3 until 7 every day.
Right.
We'll be here. We will be the last men standing. I guarantee you that. Okay? So what do you want to know? What do you want to know now? My favorite color?
Prepare to be dazzled.
Okay.
It's our dazzling personalities.
That's it. That's it. I'm done with my part of the welcome to the show, and and now I think we should probably start with the vacation, because I do have some stuff to tell you about, including an incident at the Christmas party.
Oh.
Speaking of alcohol, that involves me. You know, I don't normally get bombed. I had a very bad experience, I told you, at Thanksgiving, when I got drunk and got all upset about Frida passing.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the Christmas party this year, which was on the last day that we worked before the holiday, I got just absolutely faced.
No.
And
in a nice way, I thought.
Well, I don't remember much about it.
You are a wonderful drunk.
Well,
you're a charming drunk.
You can fill me in when we come back. Right. And also, I would like, I don't want to embarrass her. There is a woman that works here. I apparently kissed her.
Huh.
And apparently, I mean, I didn't just like say, oh, mwah, how are you? I mean,
you went for it.
I kissed her. And here's the thing that's a pisser about it, is that I don't remember it.
Oh. And you'd like to.
I don't remember.
That's unfortunate.
And I didn't even know about it until the next day when somebody told me about it. So I saw this woman before the show today. She works here. And I said, hey, I understand that I kissed you at the party. And she said, yes, you did. And I said, you know, because what I was concerned about, it was like one of those situations with my niece. I tell you, remember that time when, and this was right in front of Frida,
yeah, right?
But she was still alive. But we were coming out of Secrets in Ocean City.
You get kissy when you get loaded.
I was so drunk. My niece Beth, who is a beautiful young woman, but is my niece, in front of my wife and in front of her whole family, I just turned and just like stuck my tongue in her mouth and was like, "Oh, Bethy boo, la 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 la."
Right.
You know, and again, I didn't remember, and I remember waking up the next morning, and Frida had taken all the sheets off the bed, and I just woke up with that taste, and it was just a mattress. And I said, what's going on? And she said, to throw the sheets away because of your vomit, and you better get down to Secrets, and you better apologize to Beth right now. I'm like, what did I do? She said, yeah, you idiot, you made out with her. it's like you made out with her in front of everybody.
It's the highest form of compliment, I think so.
Anyway,
I really do believe that.
I saw the woman today here in the office, and I said, "Hi, I understand. I gave you a kiss at the party." She said, "Yes," and I said, "I wish I would have remembered it." And then she said, "What did she say?"
She could not have been more gracious.
She did.
She was great. She said that people had been ribbing her about it, and she said that you know she said thank you for the apology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, ain't that a bitch though?
Yeah, it is. Really.
I mean, all that time.
And you had a wonderful line. You said you wish you remembered it.
I do.
And I think that was a nice compliment also.
It was, indeed.
I mean, it was, you know, it happened.
That's the truth.
These things happen.
Anything else happen?
No.
No?
No, we took care of you.
Yeah.
It was all good. You know what? I really say this sincerely. I know I speak for everybody who was at that Christmas party. We were all delighted to have you there, and it was you know, and it was I was glad that you came to the party, and I know that the holidays were up for you, and it was great to have you there. It was really, really good to have you there.
You're welcome.
And at the end, I knew when I called you the next day, I also knew that you didn't remember standing outside with me out there, which was and you're almost at my level for covering up. I mean, since I get drunk so much more than you do.
Yeah.
You know, you really almost had me convinced that you remembered standing out there.
Not a clue. Well, listen, let's break it. We'll come back. And you can help me fill in the dark spots.
Okay. There were not, you know, as far as that was the moment. That was the moment.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
Otherwise, it was the only thing I will say was maybe a little balance issue.
Well, Joe sent me an email saying that Joe said that trying to walk me around was like trying to rub somebody like a bowling ball down an ice rink.
Yes. You're difficult to manage at that point in terms of keeping you upright.
Oh, here he is. Hi. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, you're like managing a greased bowling ball on a frozen pond.
Joe.
But you're a good drunk. You really are.
He's a wonderful drunk.
Always. And I tell you, you could have, if you weren't a superstar DJ, you probably could have been an NFL linebacker because everywhere I had you by your elbow. you know, get you through the restaurant. And everywhere you turned, I just went, whoa.
Yeah, you swung him around. Well, thank you to all you guys for helping me out that night.
And one funny thing Don did, he took out his Razor phone to call Bart and tell him that he was getting out of there somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And he dropped his phone. And what did he do? He just reached in his jacket and pulled out another phone. That was so funny.
That is a cool move.
Not easy being me. And boy, did I drive my kid crazy that night. It was like the rules were reversed, right?
Worried parent. Yeah. Yeah.
So I call him, and I guess when I went back and checked the cell phone the next day,
mm-hmm.
I called him, and I guess my first call was about 11:15. And he told me that this was on December 16th.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I called and said, I've had too much to drink. I'm not going to drive, but I'll let you know what's happening.
Right.
And then I guess I called him, from what he tells me, between 11 and 15 more times. And every time, I just kept saying, hello, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine.
Right.
He was thinking that I was going to drive. Of course, I was not going to drive. I was trying to tell him that I was going to have somebody drive me home.
Right.
It turns out it was Buzz.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Buzz that drove me home.
Right. Buzz took two hours to find your car.
Well, again, the man with two phones also had two cars, and I wasn't sure which one I was looking for. Do you remember by any chance, this is the first time I've mentioned this, do you remember by any chance the Chinese restaurant? That we stopped at a Chinese restaurant on our way home when I drove you home that night.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you had a little balance issue there, too.
Why did we stop at a Chinese restaurant?
You needed another stop.
Oh, to go to the bathroom?
You needed to stop. And the restaurant was closed, and we were around the back or on the side.
Now, this was
dark.
This was not to puke, right? This was really... I had stadium stop.
Yes.
I do remember that. Mm-hmm. I remember we were on the side of maybe 66, on the side of a highway.
That was later.
On 28.
Or the toll road. I think.
Right, where I said, pull over. I gotta pee.
Right.
And
but
then,
there were times before that, too.
Nothing would come out.
Right.
And it took Buzz and I a few minutes to figure out how to start your car.
All right, well, it's one of those keyless things.
It's a push button, but which button? There's a lot of buttons.
Meanwhile, I'm standing out with you the whole time that's going on. I'm standing out with you in back of the kitchen. We came out the kitchen door.
Yeah.
And that's when I became aware of the fact that you were making a lot of phone calls. The move you had was going to the phone. You went to the phone. But I reiterate that you are a wonderful drunk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good company.
I was concerned about the woman that I didn't do a Bethy on her and just kind of force myself on her.
I would rather be like you than like me. And that when I go to the dark side, when I get to, I go the opposite way where I can be kind of not nice. So I'd rather be planting some on people than doing what I do occasionally, saying amazingly cruel and insensitive things to people.
Oh, I wish I remembered that. God damn. Yeah. Like if there's a chick, everybody thinks about kissing other people.
Sure. You fantasize. You think about.
Few people act on it.
Right.
I know. I know, and I did, and now I don't remember.
But hey, but even though you don't remember, way to go, Tiger.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I am kidding, of course.
Was she trying to pull herself away?
I didn't.
Not violently.
Not violently.
Yeah.
She was trying. She was gracious.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the word. She was gracious.
So she was. Here's what I'm trying to figure out.
I wouldn't describe the reaction as totally receptive.
Would somebody just please give me
I wasn't there. Somebody nudged me,
and
I caught the tail end of it, and I couldn't assess, because there were so many people around, I couldn't assess the...
She did not appear to be struggling. I'm serious. Everybody was in the moment, and there was no attempt to push you away.
I really think it was... You moved in...
I had a real hard 6 months. Everybody doesn't know that.
Yeah. True.
I mean, the worst six months of my freaking life.
I think
Buzz
is right. That's what I saw, the same thing Buzz saw. It was kind of it wasn't being pushed away.
You may have caught her by surprise.
I think it was surprise, shock.
But she was not trying to fend you off or anything.
No!
How long did the kiss last?
Very briefly.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, too bad.
I did put that thing in her drink. So it should have been fine.
Oh, the roofie?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, never mind that.
No, I don't know what went wrong.
You remember.
Okay, well, Rob.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
I sure do, Rob. I wish
a good time was
you.
Had by all.
Yes. Okay, well, we'll break.
Travis is coming in.
Oh, hi, Travis.
I saw what happened, and it was very,
What?
Travis?
You wanted him here for
It was fine. It didn't last very long. It was very quick. It was very brief. tell there had been some imbibing, and that was that.
Boy, is there any resistance? Can you hear me? Was there resistance?
Yeah, that's what I care about. Is
on which side?
On her side.
On her side.
Because I am assuming here that I kissed her. I'm not. I'm assuming that she didn't come up.
I don't think so. I couldn't tell if there was any. I don't think there was any.
At any time, did she ball up her fist?
No, she didn't bring out the axe.
All right, thanks for the help, Travis.
Thank God.
Thank you very much.
I cleared things up. It was, you know. Uh-huh.
Thank you very much. Okay.
It was the best Christmas party ever.
It was. Okay. Well, as you can hear, it's time for a Slim Fast. So we'll do that and come back on Killer's Row.
Mm-hmm.
Be right back with more of the 61 Yankees.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'm telling you, you guys are all going to jail. Okay? You are all f***ing out of line. Take my car. You've been arrested for operating motor vehicles while under the influence.
I was hit by a taxi.
I need you to listen to me, okay?
What?
I need you to listen to me right now.
Was I hit by a taxi?
I don't know, sir. I wasn't out there.
Yeah, oh, no. I was hit by a taxi.
You refused to submit to a taxi?
I won't say anything until you say to stop.
What portion thereof?
I will not say anything until you say to stop.
Have you introduced evidence to
you? I will not say anything until you say to stop.
At any trial?
I have witnesses to what I drank. One and a half drinks.
Okay.
Go to hell, you guys. Take these cuffs off.
I act like a gentleman after you ask for coffee or nothing. Ow!
Relax.
Ow! I'm going to send you all to jail. I have not had a chance in all these hours to call my lawyer.
There I was.
It's on in my show.
What you do? Go to Rotterdam. Then you go to Amsterdam, then you go down the road to my city. That's right. It's a little place called I Don't Give a Damn.
Broadcasting Butterball Naked, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Right. Don't forget the phrase that pays.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
If we call and ask the name of your favorite radio station with a killer lineup, say,
I wish I knew how to quit you.
And you win an all-expense-paid ski trip to Brokeback Mountain.
Okay, now we're going to get to it.
Talk about lift tickets.
Here we go. Hey. Okay, the vacation. You're going to try to do all of this in one break, give another break to Mike for his vacation, and then the tapes,
yes.
The Regis tapes,
mm-hmm.
The Dick Clark tapes.
Yeah. Oh, God, I watched the whole thing. I was very bummed.
I did not watch it. I have not heard it. I have not seen it. I was on a cruise ship, so I'll wait and enjoy
it. You haven't heard it?
No.
You're in for a treat.
Wait and enjoy it with the rest of you. Okay, we covered the Christmas party, and I got drunk, but it was not a bad drunk. It was a happy drunk.
Right.
And I'm feeling much better about my life in general in this year after this vacation. The holidays were not easy.
Can't imagine they would be.
After the Christmas party, I was such a happy drunk at the party. When I got home with Bart, again, what a strong young man I have as a son. Mm-hmm. Hopefully this will be the last time that I put him through this again. When I got home after the Christmas party, I lost it about Frida again. Mm-hmm. And it was just, he said that I spent about an hour in the closet, just sitting Indian style in the closet, mm-hmm. refusing to get up, you know, just saying, you know, all this crap about Frida,
right.
And he was saying, Dad, you've got to go to bed, you got to get a hold of yourself, Dad, because the next day we had to get up very early to drive to the family Christmas party.
Yeah,
and
probably not what you were in the mood for the next day.
I was so hungover,
mm-hmm.
that driving up there, I really thought, thank God, Frida's family, my family, that they were cool. If anybody wanted to get anything heavy with me on, it was December 17th, the day of the family Christmas party.
Right.
I would not have been able to handle it.
Right.
Because as soon as I walked in, I just had that, you know, I don't often get as drunk as I got.
Sure.
And it was a long drive, and I was upset and bummed out, and I was nervous for whatever reason, because I knew everyone's going to be treating me a little different the first, mm-hmm. first Christmas without Frida, mm-hmm. and I was feeling a little queasy, but they all rallied and treated me just wonderfully, and got back home, did all the stuff that we had to do, got the Christmas tree up, you know, tried as best we could to get the Christmas feelings going in the house. But it was just a, I won't be a bit long on this. It was just a down, sad time. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, one of the things that I was looking forward to around Christmas was on Christmas Eve, we were going to go over to Robin Carey's.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to see Robert, my godson, and Julia, Robbie's daughter. And, you know, we're very close with Rob.
Right.
And as it turns out, Rob called. And a pretty good excuse, I'll say, to back out of this.
You think?
He calls and he says, now I got a call first the day before Christmas Eve.
Right.
Rob said, I'm sure it's nothing, but Robert is not feeling well, and that's his son, Robert. Right. And Rob wasn't feeling well. He said, we're going to see the doctor in the morning. We'll see you guys tomorrow night. Uh-huh. I'm sure it will be cool.
One more thing. Also, we have no hot water. But
I forgot that.
I'm sure everything will be fine. I'm going to go to Sears and buy a hot water heater, and the plumber will get here no later than noon. See you tomorrow.
So yeah, that's what it was. First, it was the hot water heater, and we're not feeling too good. But listen, and I thought you were setting me up, you know, like you would set up everybody to get rid of them not to come over on Christmas
right.
Eve. But you said this is not a setup. I'll see you tomorrow night. Okay, goodbye. Next day, the phone
little
rings.
Did he know, percolating inside of him was the greatest, you know, the avian flu.
Exactly. Right.
The next day, I get a call from Rob, and he says, listen, we're going to have to cancel it on Christmas Eve. I said, that's fine. Is it a problem with the hot water heater? He said, no, both Robert and I have pneumonia.
Yes!
Wow.
Thank you! Robert, a little more serious than me. Robert was in the hospital.
Right.
He's fine now.
Good.
I stayed at home. And he was actually given 4 hours off by the doctor
mm-hmm.
to come home Christmas Day to open presents.
Good.
Because without that, we would have had to haul all the presents to the hospital.
Oh, my God.
And then take them away from him.
Unreal.
But he did fine. He was in the hospital for like 6 days. I was laid up for about eight.
I talked to you on right around that time. And
how
you
that
know,
sound?
You know when someone is, everybody's known this from coworkers, you know, where somebody's really trying to sound sicker than they are. And then Rob was the opposite. Rob was trying to sound
normal.
As up as he could, which
right.
is what he does a lot. And you couldn't pull
couldn't
it.
Do it.
You couldn't pull it off because you were so, I mean, you sounded horrible.
I was really coughing up things out of my lungs, and I said this a lot, that looked like the tingler. They were black as my soul. I swear to God, they'd come out and land in the cup. And, you know, you've taken a step when you've given up spitting into a tissue and throwing the tissue away when you have
right
a cup. It looks like a Nike symbol.
God.
So I say to Bart, well, that's it. Yeah. You know, we're out. Now it's Christmas Eve. Now I know that
But your tree was great.
Yeah, okay. Yes, I bought my tree, as always, from Rob's, from Big Daddy. And again, the tree was great.
Don't let pneumonia get in the way of that merchandising.
Big 9-foot tree. Now, here were our options. I know that I could have called Buzz.
Right.
Because I know that Buzz's mother-in-law was in town.
She would have loved to have had you.
Because Buzz actually escaped, was out doing some last-minute shopping.
Errands, I call
during the week and stopped by to hang out with Bart and I for a little while.
Right.
And I knew what was going on, and Bart knew what was going on. Buzz was out doing some shopping, and also it was a chance just to spend an hour or two.
I like to call it quiet time.
A little downtime?
Yeah.
Not with the mother-in-law.
Right.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
So I said to Bart, you know, I know we can impose on Buzz. I said, but, you know, I don't know, he's going through the thing with his mother-in-law, and he said that they were getting along better. You know, and you did have a better time with Dottie this year, right?
But it would have been fine. We would have loved to have had you. I didn't know that your plans had been canceled.
So here now, Rob, you'll appreciate this.
Yes.
Bart and I are in the car, and it is about 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, now listen, there's got to be, we didn't want to go to a movie, we wanted to go out to eat.
Right.
Said, what did Jews do? And right away I thought of Rob. I said, what do Jews do? I said, and I said to Bart and I are driving down the road, I said, you know, to a Jew, this is just a regular Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Christmas Eve always is. I said, so there's got to be someplace open. So then we're driving around, and anybody who could have been listening in the car would have thought we were neo-Nazis because we're driving around, and everywhere I'm going, I said, do you think the Jews go there? And Mark's like, no, I don't think Dad, that looks close. I said, hey, hold on a second. You know what? Don't Jews like Mexican? Because I'm just looking for anything. So finally we found is it on the border or on the...
There is such a place.
On the border?
Yeah.
Anyway, they're open.
Right.
They're open until 8 o'clock on
right.
Christmas Eve.
Good.
So we go in there and we sit down and we started playing the game. Being it's just he and I there, and it's kind of pathetic Christmas Eve that we're mm-hmm. having margaritas in a Mexican restaurant.
Sounds good to me.
And we tried to play the game to guess who was Jewish and who was just, you know, Christian and pathetic like we were. And as always, Rob, you'd be happy to know the Christians won.
we
finally decided that.
So you think you didn't go, you know, table to table and sample and then find out, you know, and get the answer to
we
your.
We asked two couples that were sitting at tables near us, turned and just said, "Excuse me, we are just doing a little impromptu survey. Do you celebrate Christmas?"
Right.
And the woman looked up at me with a mouth full of whatever the catch of the day was. Of course we do. It was just part of their ritual.
Yeah. Did you follow up with, oh, then you're just as pathetic as we are?
No, it did not.
No, that's a good move.
I wasn't feeling that well, but if I had known you were playing that game, I would have come out and judge it. I could have been there in
as you were
minutes.
Spinning into your cup.
Exactly. My margarita cup.
So we go to this place on Christmas Eve. Then we wake up, and we got Christmas morning, and that's nice, except it's just us, and the
right.
phone is ringing, and really I'm just at this point just waiting. So much waiting for all of the holidays to be over.
Absolutely.
And once we got through that, then we were going to go, and we were going to spend some time with my daughter, and as it turns out, she's got some medical issues, so that trip got screwed up, and I just kept thinking, things are just not going to get better. You know what I mean? I was very down at that point, and my boy and I went on a cruise. You know, Fried and I used to love to go on cruises, and we would drag him along sometime. And as it turns out, this was the best thing that we could have done.
That's great.
Because the cruise left Tampa Bay on New Year's Eve. So right away, the problem of what to do on New Year's Eve was solved.
Mm-hmm.
We would be on a cruise ship just miles away from America, and we wouldn't have family and everything
right.
and distractions. You know, I don't mean the fruit is a distraction, but...
No, I understand. I totally understand. Everybody understands what you're
we
saying.
We needed to get away. And it was a pretty sweet setup that I had a room and he had a room because I could not imagine the two of us living together in one of those tiny little rooms.
That's a smart pull right there.
So, New Year's Eve, here's what happens. We go down, we have dinner. As it turns out, the people at the table were not jerks, the people that they force you to sit with.
Oh,
and
good,
eat.
Good. Well, that's now that thing sounds like they're turning around, maybe.
So we're having a good time, and it's a little before midnight, and everybody's ready to go party, and I go back to the room. I go back to my room, and I say to Bart, you know, good night, I love you, I'm going to hit the sack. Don't worry about me, I'm not going to get drunk, I'm not going to get crazy about mom tonight or anything, I'm past that. So at about, I don't know, 11:45, I get that on the door, and I open the door, and it's Bart, and he's got a bottle of champagne.
Mm-hmm.
It was very nice. It was so loud on the cruise ship that we opened up the door to my cabin, and we could actually hear from four flights down on this big-ass Royal Caribbean ship, we could hear the countdown, 5, 4, 3, 2. So then we had a glass of champagne. We toasted Frida,
right.
And I said, I'm going to go to bed, and he said he was going to go party.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the many times that I looked at myself and thought, oh, Father of the Year. I am Father of the Year because here's my kid on New Year's Eve. It's 12:01.
Mm-hmm.
He's leaving my room. I'm going to go get to bed. He has on a Fred Sanford T-shirt, pants, these jeans that he's got like the refrigerator repairman ass crack, a straw cowboy hat,
right,
and two bottles of champagne.
He's ready to
go. One in each hand. As he's walking down the hall, I said, good night, buddy. I love you. He says, good night, Dad. I love you, too. Happy New Year. And I said, Father of the Year. And then the next day, he wakes me up, and he's the big exciting news. Very exciting. Like 7 a.m., the phone in my room rings, and I'm like, what are you doing up? He says, I haven't been to bed, Dad, but I got great news. I'm old enough to gamble in the casino on the boat.
Oh, my God.
So this starts an entire new again now. Again, Father of the Year.
Right.
The father that drinks with his son on New Year's Eve. Let's gamble together. And he decided at one point, we were sitting at a table playing blackjack, he decided that I was bad luck.
Oh, really?
Because I happened to be winning and he was losing.
Okay, all right.
And he asked me to move. The entire cruise for us was fantastic. We did all the stuff, I mean, no disrespect to Frida.
Sure.
But we did all the stuff that we like to do that Frida would never do
right.
with us. Like, when we got off into Cayman Islands, here's what Frida would like to do in the Cayman Islands. We've been there a couple of times. She'd like to go shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And then go to a fancy beach. What Bart and I did was rent scooters.
Right.
And just took off. I mean, Jack.
Oh, cool.
We got lost. Well, we had like 7 hours.
Right. Didn't you stay there one time? Didn't you stay in the? Yeah. You love the Canyons,
yeah,
right?
Love it.
Right.
Nice. So we're in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, we could not look dorkier because you have to wear those idiotic helmets.
Right.
And you're driving these little Vespa scooters, but you're driving on the wrong side of the road because it's the Cayman Islands, and you're out on the highway, and we're trying to find a place to eat.
Right.
And I said to Bart, let's not, like, go to Colonel Sanders. Let's find a real Cayman restaurant. So we found a real Cayman restaurant, and... Again, it's just a good thing that he was there with me, because if it was just me, I would be old Yellowstain. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as we walked through the door, I know that I had the look on my face that said, "Hi, I'm white. I've got a bunch of credit cards. I really don't know where I am on this island, and my only way of escaping is a scooter that goes 18 miles an hour." Now, he, on the other hand, could not have been cooler. He adapts to the situation.
Sure.
We walk in. He's got the outfit on. He sits down. We had a fantastic meal, whatever the local food was.
Oh, you probably had the best meal that you could have had.
Spicier the better. Got back on the boat, and we did that in just about every stop that we went to. When we went to Cozumel, which had been hit by the hurricane,
right?
We decided not to get scooters. We decided that we would drive an electric car.
Okay.
Now, it's an electric car that looks kind of like a golf cart.
I've seen those.
The big bulbous hood on it.
Kind of like a hollowed-out Volkswagen.
Right. Now, this thing would lose in a race to the Vespa.
Okay.
This thing is so slow. And when we were driving in the downtown area, where it's very crowded with all the tourists, it was fine. I said to Bart, you know what I want to do? I want to see some of the hurricane damage, like where we had been before on this cruise. Get on this road and get going this way. Well, as it turns out, you're not supposed to drive the electric car out on the highway.
No.
So
you neglected to pay attention to that little detail. You decided you'd take it out on the interstate.
Let me just say, Mike, it takes a rare type of individual. I think I'm the rare individual who can get pulled over by a Cayman Islands police guy on a bicycle.
You mean the Cozumel, Mexican police?
Yeah, did I say? Cayman Islands?
Yeah, you're in Cozumel. I just want to make sure I know where you are here.
He's in Cozumel.
I've heard about Mexican prisons. They're not all that pleasant.
No. We're in the electric car. And we're on a four-lane road, and people can pass us, but there are points where there are cars that are parked, and it's like, we are just screwing up traffic.
Sure.
We might as well be Amish people in a buggy. And seriously, guys in bikes are passing us. And I'm saying to Bart, do you think we should keep driving down this road? He said, Dad, if we go back the other way, it's the same thing. The next thing we hear is, sounds like a little kid's toy siren. I hear... And then really a ding 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 ding. I turn to my right. It's a cop on a bicycle. He's riding.
Who's running you down?
He's riding. He's riding next to us, and he says, "Pull over." Okay, this is a first.
Right.
I'm being pulled over in a foreign country. I'm driving an electric car. Right. The guy comes over and he says, "What are you doing?" And I say, well, we're trying to drive down by where Carlos and Charlie's used to be. It got wiped out. The pier got wiped out in the hurricane. Mm-hmm. He said, right. Why are you driving this car? I said, because I rented this car. And then the guy goes, and he says, can I see the rental agreement? I said, of course. It was $30. Mm-hmm. Could not have been cheaper. And you couldn't miss it. Right on the very top, in gigantic letters that, I mean, Stevie Wonder could read, says real big, not, under no circumstances drive on highway. And then it even says, do not drive on Highway 17, Highway 22, Highway 25.
So it's an in-town car.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's an in-town golf cart. Mm-hmm. So you have a golf cart on the highway.
So here's what the cop ends up doing. The cop said, I am not going to write you a ticket. I said, oh, thank God. He said, what I am going to do is impound the electric car.
Oh, no.
That will cost you $75 American.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's the game.
So this is where we start playing the game, right? Mm-hmm. And I say, okay, and how do you think we would get back to town? He said, oh, it's about a two-mile walk.
Oh, wow.
So we stood there for a second, and really, as we turned and started to walk, the guy at the very last second said, hey, blew his whistle, his traffic whistle, right? And he got our attention, and he said, hey, mi amigos. Come here. And I said to Bart, hey, now you know what? All right, the guy's pretty cool. Right? So we come back, and I think he's going to, like, cut us some break.
Mm-hmm.
The guy says, I need to have the other key. This came with two keys, because Bart still had the other key in his pocket. He just wanted the other key.
Okay. So you had to walk back into town?
Yeah, we walked back into town.
Did you get the impression at any time that if you would perhaps up the ante a little bit, you would have been able to stay in your car?
No, I get the feeling that if we had given him even the slightest bit of lip, that they were looking for a wonderful father-son combination that they could have thrown in the local hoosegow.
Yeah.
Apparently, it was like I broke one of the sacred rules. You know, the guy was talking half in English, half in Spanish, and doing a thing on his walkie-talkie. I imagine he's saying, you know, I have got the biggest idiot in the world. He does not know he's not supposed to drive the electric car. And I got the feeling that the guy was just waiting for me to say something so that he could throw my ass into some Mexican jail and I would miss the boat.
What did he look like? I just got to get a picture of the guy.
Yeah, the officer.
Okay. Edward James Olmos, without all of the bad acne.
Okay, I got you.
An older guy. And
any facial hair?
A mustache,
right,
and he did have the aviator sunglasses.
Oh my God.
That had mirrors on the front of them.
You ruined.
And he was riding a bicycle.
I was picturing Sergeant Garcia from Zorro.
I know exactly. That goes way back, Rob.
The big
fat guy.
All right, now I got to wind this up. That's all the adventure stuff we had. Now on the boat itself.
Mm-hmm.
As it turns out, I kept my regular hours. I was up early in the morning and went to bed at a reasonable hour.
Right.
I would part company with Bart at about 10:30.
Right.
And the next day, when he would wake up and we'd walk around the ship, no matter where we would go, people would go, hey, hi, Bart. Hey, Bart, what's happening?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, how you doing? I didn't figure it out until they send, like, the bill under your door halfway through the cruise. And I see the itemized bill. Now, he's old enough he can have beer and wine on this cruise.
Right.
So I see that he's left me at dinner at 10:01.
Mm-hmm.
He immediately has gone to the schooner lounge. And then I see a beer. I love that kid. A beer is $3.25.
Right.
And I see that there are five charges of $3.25.
Uh-huh.
And then at midnight, that bar closes, and then I see that he's moved now to the Viking Crown Lounge.
Of course.
Where again, I'm counting, there's got to be like 8, 9, 10 beers.
Were there some young ladies on the ship?
I have been sworn to secrecy.
Okay.
There were.
Okay, of course. Enough said.
And the only other thing I'll say, cuckoo cachoo, I believe.
Wow.
Mrs. Robinson, I think.
Really?
Wow.
There was one lady in particular who kept, as we would pass her on the ship, Bart got a little more flustered every time we saw her. She'd be like,
no kidding.
Hello, Bart. How are you? And I'd be like, hey, what's happening? And he just kept, you know, moving me along.
Yeah, let's keep walking.
Was it a cougar?
She was not a cougar. She was not a cougar, Rob.
Oh, a cougar.
But the highlight is this.
Yeah.
The highlight is the featured performer on the boat. Most times when you go on a boat, you don't get anybody of any stature at all.
No names.
It was.
But we will continue with entertainment as we move forward in our forever hour after hour doing good work. We want you to meet a comedian. Would be, I guess, number two or three on the list of great comics in the last 25 years that anyone has ever watched or enjoyed? Please welcome Norm Crosby, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my God.
All right, so. Now,
Norm Crosby?
Now, I do have some stuff that maybe we can put on the website.
Okay.
The people at Royal Caribbean were very nice to Bart and I.
Yeah.
And one night they said, would you like to go see Norm Crosby, sit in the front row, have some cocktails with Norm Crosby, and have dinner with the captain?
Okay.
So I said, that's great. And then here we can put this up on the website. This is a picture of Bart and I with the captain of the ship. We're all dressed up there. Now, Norm Crosby is not in that picture.
Right.
He was not at dinner. Here's Norm Crosby. Norm Crosby is a comedian who's about 110 years old.
About that. Yep.
And here's his picture in the program. So we go to see his show, which really wasn't that great, but, you know, they were spiffing it, so it was
sure.
Nice.
Right.
And then they said afterwards, would you like to come to a little reception? And I said, well, what the hell, I would love to. And here is my conversation with Norm Crosby.
you wrote it down?
Oh, no. I didn't write it down, but it involves this little pamphlet that says what we were going to do that day at sea,
right,
because
okay.
It had his picture on it.
Uh-huh.
Right? So all these people were hanging around this suite on the boat. They gave him a room that had a freaking baby grand piano in it.
Wow.
Okay? So he's walking around like his ass doesn't smell.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've seen him on, like, the Jerry Lewis telephone and
sure.
Ed Sullivan. But really,
right.
It's inconsequential to me. But I know Robbie get a big kick out of it. So I walk
right.
up to him and I say, I've got this great program. Now, here is the exact conversation. I say, Mr. Crosby, now I'm wearing a suit and tie. And I'm up there invited with the captain and everything
mm-hmm.
as one of their, you know, most favorite passengers.
Right.
I say, it's a pleasure to meet you. And he does not put his hand out.
Mm-hmm.
He just says, hey, nice to meet you. I said, my best friend Rob is a huge fan. Would you mind autographing this for me?
Mm-hmm.
His words, no effing way. I'm not working now. And he turns and he walks away.
Wow. Oh, that's too bad.
My God.
The bigger they are, Mike, I tell you, the bigger they are.
The bigger they are.
Mm-hmm. So that was the quote.
God.
So when you look at this picture, if we can get this on the website tonight from the Legend of the Seas, Royal Caribbean, Day 5, Norm Crosby, this is a guy. All I said was, could you sign this for my best friend, Rob, who would get a real kick?
Mm-hmm. You asked him for his autograph.
He right. said, no effing way. I'm not working now.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, I would have to ask Bart, but the follow-up was something like, maybe if you catch me at another time. And it's like, I'm staring at the thing. When I catch you? I'm in your freaking room. I'm in your room with the captain of this ship.
Too much trouble.
Anyway, so screw Norm Crosby.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But if you can get
Jesus.
That up on the website and put that picture of me and the boy up there with the captain. And
think he's a little bitter that he's playing cruise ships?
I wouldn't be bitter if I had that. He had a room that had a spiral staircase.
I think of that movie, Mr. Saturday Night, Rob.
Yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah.
I can get you a cruise ship.
What's great is he was in the Vats Entertainment Theater on Deck 4.
Let me see that. That is great.
He was. Oh, and
obviously a younger picture of him.
Yes.
Right.
So that's it. That's all I got. I had a great time with Bart. We really... After a couple of days of getting everything with Frida out of our system, we were able to just... the bond is not the right word because I've already bonded with him, obviously, but he's a fantastic young man and a great guy to be around. And the thing that I was most worried about leaving on this vacation was the dogs, because we left them for 11 days.
Mm-hmm.
I left the dogs at this new place by where I live. It's a boarding place. It's a grooming place. It's a place where you can get a room for your dogs, and they can stay together, and they get a TV in the room, and they get walked like 8 times a day.
Right.
So before I left, when we dropped the dogs off, they said, you want the grand suite, right? And I said, no, a regular room would be fine.
Right.
You know, just make sure that my two dogs are together.
Right.
And that they don't get separated. And this place is really nice. And it was outstanding. Would you like to guess how much it cost me to have my dogs boarded for a week? 1 week. 11, 10 days. Just kidding.
Man, I have no idea. I'll say $1,000. I'll say $500.
Well, it's in between. It's in between.
Mm-hmm.
$798.
Now, for that, do they get to go to the Norm Crosby cocktail party?
No effing way.
Yeah, but one of them ran up quite a tab at the Schooner Lounge.
I mean, really, I'm looking at it, and I don't doubt, they were very sweet to our dogs, and they're big fans of the show.
Right.
They listen out of this place. But I almost did a double take today. I looked at this thing, it's like, Christ, my bar bill was not this much for the two of us
right.
on the cruise.
Right. But the dogs had a wonderful time.
These are dogs. They sniff each other's
butts. Did they smell good? Did they smell good when you picked them up?
Oh, the best thing is I had Max groomed.
Right.
Which means that all of those just dried on gribblies around his butt that I feel like if I'm cleaning him up, I'm giving him a prostate exam. I cannot stand. Yeah. They clean. That's the first thing I did when I saw those dogs. I went and picked them up today.
Checked his butt.
I'm like, come to daddy. Oh, good boy, good boy, good boy. Let me see that butt. Oh, look it. Oh, that's a clean butt. Who knows what the hell they thought I was all
see,
about.
Right there, there's your money well spent when they go down into that area.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that's it. That was it. That was it. The and also a very panicked call from Beth Ann McBride.
Really?
I wish I would have saved it. It was when we were on the ship. I didn't hear it until Saturday, until we got back to town. Mm-hmm. We're going through all the messages, and in essence, this is what it was. It was, beep. Hi, Don, it's Beth Ann McBride. It's 2:42 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesday, January 3rd. I'm about to go on the air. I really need to speak with you. Are you there? Hello.
Oh, no.
Hello, please pick up. I know you're there, Don. I need to speak with you. This is Beth Ann McBride. It's 2:43 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Oh, well, I'll try your cell. Goodbye.
Oh, no. And did she ever make contact?
No, that's the only message I got from her.
We don't know. I hope she's all right.
Yeah. I guess she's probably on the air now in North Carolina, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. She's making memories.
B.A.
There you go. So that's my vacation. That's all. It was a good one.
That's good. I'm glad that you had a good time on that cruise.
It was
sounds
a good
fantastic.
One. And we didn't go see the monkey movie. We went to see the producers. They had Will Ferrell.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I know that you think I'm gay for Will Ferrell.
Yeah, but I flipped on Will Ferrell.
In the producers?
Yes.
He's not as good as Nathan Lane.
Right.
And Matthew Broderick, and listen, vehicular manslaughter or not, that guy is just a worthless tool. Really, you could have had Carrot Top playing the role.
He was hit by the lucky stick.
Yeah, absolutely.
He doesn't have to do anything. Nathan Lane does the lifting in
Nathan
that situation.
Nathan Lane is great. Uma Thurman is pretty good. But really, Will Ferrell is just, Jesus Christ. He, go see the movie The Producers. He's better than the guy that was in the original movie,
mm-hmm.
The Producers.
Yes.
He's better than the guy that was in the Broadway version. And Will Ferrell,
mm-hmm.
Funny as hell.
I like him now, and I logged a lot of time with Anchorman on the break, too. Watched a couple more times, so I love that show.
Oh, and the last thing, and then we got a break. If you happen to be as lucky as I was to go on a Royal Caribbean cruise,
mm-hmm.
I would recommend it. It's great. They got the rock climbing wall and all this crap you can do.
Right.
But really, the best thing that they don't promote is the fact that there's a channel where they run all CBS crappy shows.
Yay!
And it's hosted by our friend, the Uber whore, Dave Price.
Dave Price. He does it?
From the Good Morning Show on CBS. And it's him.
Hardest working weatherman in business.
It's him standing on the bridge of a cruise ship, and he says, "Hi, I'm Dave Price from the early show, and welcome to CBS Ion Royal Caribbean." And then they reran, I think, for the 7 days we were on board, about the same 5 episodes of King of Queens.
Oh, that's great.
And Still Standing.
Yeah.
Mark Addy.
And
quality.
And a bunch of clips from Craig Ferguson's show.
Oh, delightful. The best of
that's
CBS.
Entertainment.
That's the entertainment channel.
Now that's the best part of going on that cruise. Don't let anybody tell you if you go on a Royal Caribbean cruise, you know, you get like jet skis and
right.
rock climbing wall. Forget it. There's a chance. You get on that ship.
Retreaded CBS material.
You turn on Channel 16, you're going to see a King of Queens episode roughly every 3 hours.
That's exciting news.
How were you able to tear yourself away for the Vespa-ing?
yeah. Who wants to ride a scooter when you can watch, Leah and Kevin?
Here comes Jerry Stiller again.
Oh, and Christ. Did we have fun watching football? Because you pick up a feed from ESPN Deportes. So, like for Sunday Night Football and for the playoff games that were on ESPN or ABC, we got to watch them on the cruise ship. Now, for instance, let's say it's John Madden and Al Michaels.
Right.
On the screen, you see John Madden and Al Michaels, but you hear Mexican guys talking. All of the graphics are in
Carson Palmer.
Right. All of the graphics are in Spanish. But the whole thing.
Eli Manning suck.
They go to the chick on the sideline
mm-hmm.
for the update, and it says on the bottom of the screen. I know it was Michelle Tafoya.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, the graphic says Michelle Tafoya.
Mm-hmm.
But what you hear is obviously the Spanish crew has a man on the sideline. So while it's Michelle Tafoya standing there looking, it's what you hear is, just what you were saying, Mike.
But there's some guy like in a booth somewhere just translating, right?
No. The best that we could tell, there's an actual crew. There's a play-by-play guy, a color guy, and a guy who stands on the sideline.
Okay.
And when John Madden talks or when Al Michaels talks, these guys they're doing their own audio track to the game.
Okay. All right.
And when they would go to the sideline reporter, the chick, the American,
right,
they would go to the Spanish sideline reporter, but they didn't have cameras on any of these people.
That's weird.
So it was weird and confusing. And then I said to Bart, why is it, for instance, this bugged me too. It's ESPN Deportes. I understand ESPN is a brand name. Deportes means sports.
Right.
Why do they call it ESPN Deportes Sports Center?
I don't get it. Very redundant.
And also...
Which was more confusing, that channel or the CBS channel?
Oh, the CBS channel, Mike, was so easy to navigate. Because, you know, your favorite shows are right there.
Yeah, I love it.
Right. Oh, and they would also show features from like the early show.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Good. Grooming your dog. You know,
the kind of entertainment you only get on an airplane. That's right.
Right.
But you go on a cruise ship. It moves slower, so you get a lot more of it.
That's exactly it. All right. Well, that's it. Screw Norm Crosby.
Yeah.
What a dick he was. And also just a private note, and then I'm done. Thank you very much to the Baltimore Ravens and to the entire Modell family.
Very good.
Made it very special for Bart and I with the Ravens. Hosted the Packers a couple of weeks ago.
Excellent. You had a good time at the game.
I'll make sure I thank them. And that's it. I'm done. I'm out. That's it. Greatest lineup of all time will really continue when we come back. Mike, I know, had a
very interesting vacation.
Oh.
A lot more traveling than I normally do. I normally go to one spot. I decided to, I would say with all the, you know, the family situations that kind of got you through a very difficult time, kind of motivated me to maybe reconnect a little bit with my own family. I did that kind of at the last minute, but the majority still didn't take away from the majority of my time being surrounded by 80-year-old people that are in better shape than I am. And really, it's cumulative. It tends to really, really piss me off. I'll tell you all the details about it. I feel like I'm the freshman going into the senior, into the senior lunchroom.
How was that Independence Air flight back?
Yeah, I want to thank them, too. I love the part where they were saying goodbye to their last flight. F you.
You know, we all warned you before you left.
I know. I had backup plans.
I know you did.
And you know what? There was only one flight that got, you know, because I had a lot of people come down to visit. I had people coming and going, and there's only one flight that got screwed up. My own.
Of course.
So, thanks.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Thanks so much. But I was all over the place. I mean, I was driving, and, I covered from Orlando all the way down to South Florida over to Fort Lauderdale. I covered the whole state of Florida.
Where were you when you were drunk in an airport when you called?
That would be the day after Christmas.
Oh, when you went to see your...
That would be Boston.
Seeing Mamo, right?
Mamo,
okay,
yeah.
All right, we'll pick up on Mike's vacation.
Very good.
When we come right
back. I think
back.
I remember most of it.
This is the Don and Mike Show. The new 3FM Midday, Peter Rosenberg, Bill O'Reilly, and Penn Jillette. Only on 3FM 106.7 WJFK.
I'm just letting that soak in.
Stop! The Don and Mike Show.
It's great.
Feels right. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Me? That's why the boss has sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 grand. Yeah, right, I'm sure.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
I got a proposition for you.
Hey. Not a word, my sweet. Just listen to the Don and Mike Show.
I know that we were talking about the lineup and everything.
Yeah.
What's the over-under on 3FM? Do you think, really? I give it 6 months.
I was going to say very close to the same thing. I'll say 9.
Really?
Yeah.
Always the optimist.
Well, then let me go with 4.
That's my guy.
Yeah, I know how to gamble. I might lose a little bit, but I certainly know how to play the game.
That's my guy. Okay, Mike, your vacation.
Lots of different things happened on my vacation. I really what I do at Christmas time is kind of the part-time dad thing. And and what I did was the same thing I did last year, where I took my kids down. When I say I covered the whole state of Florida, I took my kids down to Orlando because we had such a great time at Universal Studios last year. They wanted to go back. And I said, if you want to go back, my kids, 10 and 8, Catherine and Elizabeth, are... maybe it's because they've traveled a lot. They've traveled with me. When I was married, they traveled with my ex-wife and I, and they're just seasoned travelers, and they're good at it. And I don't like to, you know, knock other people's kids, but there are certain kids in airport situations, if anybody did a lot of flying during the holiday, that really look like they take some sort of, you know, Vivarin before they get into an airport, and they're bouncing off the walls. I'm flying down without anything to read, and I look over, and my kids reach into their little carry-on bags and take out their books.
Do you still rub like Jack Daniels on their gums?
No, don't have to do that anymore. You know, there's no need. And that was Tylenol PM. But no, I'm kidding, of course. But they sit there and they reach down and they both pull out their books. And for the entire flight down to Orlando, they're reading their book. They look like an executive for a Fortune 500 company, as you're sitting there, you know, they're grown-ups that don't behave like this.
Amen to that. Yeah.
And I'm kind of looking at them, and I almost missed the days when there was almost a needier type of child.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Where I have more interaction, and they were just happy as clams, and they're great, great kids. But I have, you will be happy to know, a new hate. I have a new category of person.
Who?
And I'm not. I don't mean to lay a slam on an entire country.
Do it.
But it's the Brits.
Oh, why now?
Let me tell you what happened. This is what happened to me down in Universal. I get that first week, which is really before most people get their Christmas break. So we get an extra week. And when you're down there, they start coming in about 2 days after I get there. That's when they went. But the Brits, apparently, are like taking over Orlando. And I bumped into more pushy Phil Collins shaved head soccer thug MFers when I was down there, and they were all, and I couldn't believe it, they how badly behaved these people were. We're in the ride for I guess it's one of those log flumes, and I don't know what the name of the ride was, but we're standing in line, and these people come up, and they all have this, oh, hello, so you know, you can't even understand them, because they're all sounding like, and I guess maybe it's because they're in America, and they're at a theme park, and they're really excited, but they're bumping into me, and they bump into me like four times, and then there were other loud, and every time I came across, you don't think of this, you think in Britain, you think, you know, tea and crumpets, more civilized, you don't think of this, but no, you know what the real thing is, soccer hooligans, that's what they, you know, men and women, and all the men had shaved heads, all the men had the Phil Collins look, and they're all sitting there going, no, but I was just yes, of course you know, it's all, but you know, Billy, but you get, and this lady's like catching me with this pointy little elbow, and I almost smacked her. And then, you know, my kids are looking at me and said, Dad, calm down. I said, well, they're bothering me a little bit, and I want to go on the log flume ride, too. Hello. So that's my new hate. I don't like British people.
All right.
But the Universal Studios was fantastic, and it's a drag because, you know, I get 4 to 5 quality days with my kids, and then I got to, you know, I'm using this as kind of a bargaining chip, like for future Christmases that I will have. And next year, I think I'm going to have my kids at Christmas and be with them
right
on the holiday. But it's a drag. You know, Laura flies down, picks the kids up at the airport, and then, you know, flies back. And it's just, you get reminded all over again that, you know, that you are the big D, the big divorced. And, you know, you sit there. And so, you know, I get a little choked up whenever I see them leaving because I know they're going up to Christmas. So. But I'm all on my own, and you know, and it's like what I like to call drinking time.
Can I just yes. 30 seconds? I forgot this great awkward moment. The night that we were having dinner on the ship with the captain. Now, the people at the table that we ate with every night on the ship, after like the first night, I explained to them about what happened with Frida.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt weird saying, my wife and I did this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still wearing my wedding ring, and I'm sitting there with Bart, and I, you know, just thought, well, I wonder what these people would think. So anyway, when we sat down, one of the first things that the captain said is, have you been on a lot of cruises? And I said, yes, my wife and I. And then right away, I said, let me just say something. I don't want to oog everybody out, but just tell you, I'm going to mention my wife. I said, and I feel weird about this. She passed away about 6 months ago. My son and I are out. I said, I just didn't want anybody at the table to think that I'm like one of these, like, you know, deadbeat dads. Like, I dumped my wife and got like a trophy bride or something, and I'm here with my kid. I said, okay, that was it. That's it for me. Anyway. And then the next couple, now they're newlyweds, right? They've been married 3 days. 3 days, and I know this because they had been in this on-chip newlywed game that I saw. She shoots me a look when I say this thing about being a deadbeat dad. I'm like, what's going on? Well, as it turns out, even though their age difference was not very dramatic, the guy starts saying, well, I understand how it is with kids. After all, from my previous marriage, I've got a 17-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 12-year-old, and fortunately, Missy here is best friends with my ex-wife. And then she says, well, we're not exactly best friends. And it was like just the total wrong thing for me to say at the time.
I know, but there was an age difference with them?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. What's that like?
No, I'm sorry.
Not as much as you might.
Right. Yeah, I might be a record holder in that.
She was obviously a little younger, but he didn't look like... Now, this is your time. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of old guys. I mean, like old guys like Getty old, like, mm-hmm. like, you know, like 80-year-old guys,
right.
Like 25-year-old chicks.
Right. Really?
On the boat.
On
yeah.
the boat?
Yeah, there's a lot of that
That's
happening.
What you were talking about.
Yeah, but anyway, it was embarrassing. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, the you know, it is, holidays are, you know, God almighty, nothing compared to what you've gone through. But ever since, you know, everything happened this year, it's gotten me thinking about family. And I decided about probably a week or two before we were going to go on break that I was going to... surprise my mom and fly up to Boston without telling anybody.
Ooh.
So this, you know, Carla, my girlfriend Carla, really the strangest thing about my relationship, and everybody knows the age difference and everything, the strangest thing that I would never have predicted is the person that she has bonded with the most in this relationship is my 85-year-old mother. And go figure, I don't get it, but she gets along very...
It's the granddaughter your mom's never had.
Oh, yeah. Well, that comes to... that'll come into play also when I get down to my place in Florida. But before... Carla comes down on the day before Christmas Eve, and we decided that we would fly out across the state, fly out of Fort Lauderdale at 8:00 in the morning on Christmas Day, and we planned the whole thing out. I said, "What I'm going to do is I'm going to get the cab to take us to my sister's house, drop us off at the end of the street, and then when we start walking in, we get about halfway down the street. I'm going to call their house like I do every Christmas, and it's like, how's the weather down there, and how's everything going? And I've got it all pretty well timed, and the flight was great, and we got up there on time. It was fun until we hit the cab driver in Boston, who literally, I've been with cab drivers where there's broken English. This gentleman did not speak English. How this guy got a cab license is beyond me. I'm not sure what country he was from, but I'm thinking Ghana might be accurate.
Okay.
And I get in the cab, and the first thing I say to him is, I want to go to Lexington, Massachusetts. I have the street address, but I don't know exactly how to get there because I haven't been there enough times to know.
Right.
So you might want to call your guy. And he turns around and he nods. And he goes, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize when he nodded, he didn't know. He knew one thing. He knew Lexington, Massachusetts. And he assumed, probably like every other person that comes along in the cab, that I'm going to walk him in. I'm going to puppet him into the, you know, right into the driveway. But I didn't know where the hell I was going. I knew, you know. So this guy, an hour and a half later, this is about a half an hour max. Half an hour cab ride. I do remember that. It's a drive to the airport. That's a long pace. It's an hour and a half. And I've got the whole thing where I'm planning this surprise. I'm getting antsy for this. I'm ready to kill this guy. I'm really, really, I mean, he made me angrier than the Brits.
Merry Christmas.
It's just, and I said, do you know, did you do what I said, which was to call and get directions? He goes, and he gets out this book that's the size of, like, Yellow Pages. And it's a book with all these streets. And all it is streets. Mm-hmm. And he pages through this. He says, this road right here, this is the road. I said, yeah. And he goes, he stops, pulls the cab over, hands me the book. And all the book, now I don't know how to use the stupid cabbie book because all it is a bunch of streets with no directions. It's just... It has a street and then another street. I would assume that might be the cross street. And then like a mile. But I'm trying to decipher this thing. And then I just take a guess and I say, well, go that way. And we got lucky and we were able to, I finally recognized the landmark. Otherwise, I'd still be up there driving around in Boston with this guy going, and shoving the book in my face. We at one point during this whole thing, we pulled over to ask some guy on the street. And, you know, really, nowadays, in present-day America, nobody knows where the hell they are because this guy went,
You know, it's right in the middle of this small town. I said, do you live here? He goes, yes. I said, can you tell us how to get to da-da-da street? Boy, am I, I mean, we're in the city limits, and I'm like, does anybody effing know how to get there? I don't live here.
Did you surprise your mom the way you wanted to?
I did. It was a home run. It was better than I could have imagined, because we get halfway down the street, and it's a small, unpopulated street she lives on, and I hear a car, and I'm like, oh, man, somebody did a run out to the convenience store or something. We're gonna get busted. I said to Carla, just turn away and pretend like we're vagrants. I'm just walking up the sidewalk.
Put your head in my lap, darling.
She said, so it's not, and the car goes all the way down almost to my sister's driveway and then takes a left. So the plan is solid. I get on the phone and I'm like, hey, how you doing? How's the weather up there? Oh, it's actually rainy. It's going to be a rainy day. I said, yeah, well, can I speak to her? You know, they always know I want to talk to my mom. It's like, yeah, we'll put my mom on the phone. So I get on the phone. And the best part of it, this was the best part. I've never gotten this on Christmas when I've talked to her. When I've called her from where I am, she actually was down, and she said it. She said, I don't know, for some reason I'm a little down this year. And I'm looking at Carly just going, this is perfect. She's down. She's in a major depression. This is just perfect. So we're walking in, and I'm having the conversation with her, like, you know, I just wish one year I'm going to try to get up there. I know it's been 5 or 6 years since I've had Christmas with you guys, and you know, it's just kind of tough. And then blah, blah, blah. She goes, yeah, well, maybe you can do that. It's okay. We'll do it at some point. I said, how is the weather down there? Great. And as she says that, I'm walking into the kitchen. I said, yeah, it's about 70 degrees, and I see my brother-in-law and my sister, and everybody goes, and you know how you know you've hit a home run? The waterworks, and she bursts into tears, and then my sister, who doesn't show emotion a lot, she bursts into tears, and then Carla bursts into tears, and I'm just
down, down, down.
Mike's home.
Yeah, man, it was a very, very good move. Yes, it was a pain in the ass getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, driving a car, you know, driving an hour and a half to the airport and get there. But it was really, it's not a bad day to travel, actually, too. And, you know, you were asking about the restaurants on Christmas. Mm-hmm. Well, the I think the Jews have found the airport, too. Yeah, absolutely. Because they're really, there were more, I think there were more yarmulkes on our flight than I've ever seen in one place before. It was, because it was Christmas Day, and
right.
I guess people were traveling back east. But it was really, it's the best thing I think I've done, you know, within my own family in about about a decade, you know, outside of, like, putting everybody through things with divorces and, you know, getting drunk and yelling at my brother-in-law at parties. And so it was one in the win column, you know. I'm not going to go so far as saying, like, I'm the black sheep of the family. I don't really think I am. But I have had moments where, you know, I haven't been at my very best.
You have a complex.
Nice to, I do have a complex.
You have a complex.
And, in fact, in that I became aware of, too, that I have this complex, and based on the reaction I got.
That is not your fault. That is your sister's fault. She has done that to you.
She tortured me when I was a small mm-hmm. child. And but, you know, if you ever had any questions about your standing in your own family, the whole waterworks thing, yeah. You know, convinced me, you know, hey, they really do think I'm all right.
They really like me. Damn,
it was cool.
Damn.
And you're sure they weren't tears of disappointment?
Well, you know, the other thing was I bought... I did what everybody should do on Christmas for a present. I sent my sister and my brother-in-law for Christmas a nice big piece of meat. And
nice. Always good.
Send meat. Send the gift that keeps on giving. I mean, I sent them a 16-pound rib roast. An
not
expensive...
Just not just a picture of a rib roast?
Not a picture. Not like she sent it to me. And you would have thought, you know, after I made the trip, that someone might have been able to run out and buy some gifts for Carl and myself. But no. Yeah, you know, and we got to work.
Well, now, where are you going to go on Christmas?
I'm kidding.
Go to 7-Eleven?
I'm kidding. I'm joking. Did you think I really meant that?
No, you know where you go? You go to Jumar.
Right? They're open.
It was really very cool. And then it was the next day, I got back out and went back down to what I call camp, summer camp for the elderly, which is exactly what it is. I shouldn't feel this way, but I think because of the alimony payments that I've made over the years,
yes.
I'm not going to be able to retire. Don will be long since retired, and I'll still be like working in a 7-Eleven because of that. So I get a little jealous of these old people.
The retirees,
even though I shouldn't be jealous, they're you know, in many cases 30 to 35 years older than I am.
Right,
and there's no real reason for me to be jealous, but I can't help it. I feel like the freshman going with the upperclassmen like you did when you were in high school, and they don't do anything. They're not always totally welcoming, you know, because you just can't. Look, I own a place down there. I'm a member of their little thing, their little golf course down there. I can play. I pay. I'm a dues-paying member, but when I'm down there, I feel like an interloper. And maybe this is my complex again, but the fact is they give you that vibe, the old people that are down there. And you get this, like, well, I'll be driving up like with a golf cart and right. trying to get around a guy, and you won't get to, yeah, just go over here. The guy will go, and they'll, like, wave his arm at me. You know how old people are when we're just like, just move it around, come on. So I got a lot of that move where they're sitting there and they're like, come on, get over here.
You selected that area to live, though, right?
I love golf, and it's a great golf course, but you're not going to go anywhere in that state, in that part of that state. You know, it's not going to be elderly free.
Right.
You know, and now more and more people are living longer and longer, and there are more of them down there, and they stay longer, and they don't go home for Christmas with their families.
They don't die.
They're down there. They don't like cell phones, and I know I don't like cell phones on the golf course either, but the one day that I was on, I was having a conversation with my business partner, John, and I was in the, and I was kind of caught up in this conversation. I thought I was far enough away, and I get done, I go, okay, I'll see you later. And I hang up, and I look, and I got three guys, like, with an average age of 75, they're looking, giving me the death look. Like, and it's the head shake where they smile and they kind of go, what an ass. What an ass. Look at that young whippersnapper. What an ass he is with his cell phone. You know, I'd really appreciate it if you do that over there, one of the guys said. And at this point, I got to make a decision. Do I alienate my... Because if you say anything, it'll go right through the golf course. Everybody will know what you've done.
Retirement community.
Yeah, and they'll gang up on you.
Yeah.
But I really thought that this was... The whole theme of my vacation was making amends, you know, changing people's perception. I really haven't been plugged in to the community down there. So I said, one night, you know, and it doesn't...
I know that's what you said before you left. Was your one goal to plug yourself in to the Fort Myers, Florida community?
I go down... I'm sitting in the pro shop, and the general manager comes in. He's a younger guy, and he looks at me, and he says, so, you gonna be a part of our gong show tomorrow night?
Oh, no.
And I'm like... I said, gong show? He said, yeah, do you have any appreciable talent? And then they listened to the show on the internet down there. So I was like, talent. I don't think so. And I said, well, you know, if you're really strapped for people, I could probably do my thing that I've been doing for little kids in my family for you know, 30 years, my Donald Duck sneeze. He's like, yes, yes. Perfect. Do your Donald Duck sneeze. I said, well, you know, maybe not. I said, no, please. Sign up. We'll sign you up for it, and it'll be fun. Now, I think this is going to be a goofy, throwaway, not a legitimate talent competition. So we go over there, and really, I mean, if it's bad for me, it's bad for Carla. Because, I mean, Carla is, you know, 20 years younger than I am, and I'm 30 years younger than all these other people, and it's a talent show, and I come in and they say the gong show, and they bring up these 80-year-old people that are going to judge it.
What was the talent? Let's talk about our first contestant, Arthur. His talent is breathing.
They get up there and they get the judges, and I know as soon as I see the judges, I'm dead.
Yeah.
They have that look, and it's one of the guys that kind of gets you, come on, and he has that look on his face.
Let's welcome Joel. His talent is solid bowel movements.
But what I did was I compensated. I compensated by taking about 30 trips back and forth to the bar so that I really, really wouldn't care. And the talent show starts, and there are, I think, 15 acts that they have in this thing, and I'm number 5. And they have my name up there. This thing is really well organized. And when the guy brought his saxophone out to play his saxophone, I knew that I mean, really, one lady sang a song. Another guy did, like, a whole stand-up thing. And they're laughing, and I'm looking over at Carl.
And your Donald Duck thing is, like, 5 seconds,
it's 5
right?
seconds. I'm like, I've been set up. I am so very, very screwed. And then this guy gets up and plays the piano. And he plays the piano really well.
I wonder who's kissing her now. Why wonder who's kissing her now.
But they're trying, and they're really doing acts. And I'm sitting there going, I threw this away, and he's got me up on the board, and all I'm doing is the Donald Duck sneeze. So it occurs to me that, first of all, I need another beer before I'm going to do this. And second of all, I'm going to have to do like patter.
I'm gonna have to do some shtick here, and I don't know what the hell to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I got up there after, I think I was either after the guy that told jokes or the guy that played the saxophone. I think it was after the guy that played the saxophone. And I got up there and I see, I say this is an act that has been making children in my family laugh, and he gives me this like
skit.
He gives me this huge intro too, like, this is probably going to be our best show of the night. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, I'm dying here. But the one saving grace, there was one table with some younger people, and they had kids. And I said, I need a volunteer from the audience. And so this kid comes up on stage, and I say, okay, what I want you to do is I'm going to hand you the imaginary pepper, and you throw the imaginary pepper in my face, and I'm going to sneeze like Donald Duck would. And you get kind of this is the you get this... like this little murmur of like saying, what the hell is going on? And so he takes the imaginary pepper, throws it in my face, and then I do the... and the kid, nothing.
Oh,
there's no. I mean, no. There's not even a... That, I think I heard that sound, actually, when it happened.
That was what I was looking for.
And I'm happy to say that it was so quick that I didn't get gonged because people wanted to see it. But I did receive the lowest scores of anybody. One lady, they were handing out nines and tens to everybody.
What'd you get?
I got a five from the very first lady, and I think one person gave me a seven. My total score was 19.
Should have done your Donald Duck having an orgasm.
Well, that might have been better. Might have been, everybody was having a little to drink, right. So it was, but then I was, I drowned my sorrows.
Call a little kid up. I need a child from the audience. Okay, Johnny, tell me, have you ever noticed how Donald Duck doesn't wear pants? No. You know what happens when Donald Duck gets very excited?
Do you like gladiator movies?
All right, I'm going to give you the imaginary vibrator.
It was, I'm plugged in now.
Yeah.
Because people remembered me from that night. Like, hey, saw you last night. Huh? And the whole thing turned around.
At the retirement community.
Except for when I made the wrong turn on the golf course. You know what a shotgun start is, where everybody starts out on a different golf hole.
Correct.
And I went around the entire golf course when the hole was right there. I wouldn't have had to go anyway. And I was coming up the fairway as the old guys were getting ready to tee off, and that was a big time. Okay, come on, move it along, move it. Here I am, the village idiot once again,
whippersnapper.
So I took myself out of contention.
I keep thinking of the place you have, Florida, and the only thing I think is where Jerry Seinfeld's parents live.
Right. Del Boca Vista West.
And where George Costanza's parents moved on Seinfeld. That's what I picture.
I got a next-door neighbor that's in his late 50s. I think.
Well, there you go.
So, I mean, that's pretty good.
And you'll get older.
They call
I'm going to get older. Yeah. I'm going to get older. So, I mean, it's going to be great when I... Yeah, that's true. Not if I did what I did last night.
Get older. Okay, time out.
Yes.
Time out. You saw Dick Clark.
I saw Dick Clark. New Year's Eve was... not only did we have bad service at the place we went, but it was depressing to watch it. It was one of those deals somebody should have told the Clark family, hey, please... stay home.
Did you see it?
I did see it. Yeah.
Did you see it, Robbie?
I T-boated.
Okay. I'm the only guy that didn't see it.
Well, when you hear it, you will know why. The number one thing people are saying to me about this is now people will remember him for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not his incredibly illustrious broadcasting career.
Right.
America's Teenager. They're going to remember this guy.
Okay.
And that's the most depressing thing of all. But as depressing as it is...
How much am I
going
to like it?
You are going 100%. To... There is no... Listen. Regardless of how you feel about it, inappropriate laughter at inappropriate times, I have to make this statement. You cannot not laugh at this.
Right.
It's impossible. At the same time, while going, oh, who told him to do this? You just can't. It's better than, it really makes Kirk Douglas pale in comparison.
When I watched it, it was like 9 o'clock on New Year's morning,
mm-hmm.
and I was really wishing we could do a midday show that day.
Yes.
I
know that we're way behind because every other radio show has probably already played this. They were here last week. We weren't. I've not seen it. I've only heard about it, so bear with me.
One other thing I just wanted to say. Joe Ardinger went to my restaurant over the Christmas break, and I want to thank him for that. And I think he left richer than he arrived because he borrowed $100 from my business partner.
Wow.
Now, he gave it to me. He gave it to me when I came in today.
That's a good dinner. Can I borrow $100, please?
I guess Joe was surprised by the number of people that showed up. He had a little bit of party, but I'm glad he's in there. Hey, it's a lot better than forgetting I'm halfway home.
Yes.
You know, he's going there now.
That's right. So,
get it.
I'm halfway home.
It was my Christmas miracle.
And it should be stated that that's not standard policy at your restaurant.
Loaning people $100.
Exactly.
Not exactly.
Ah, oh, come on, more than that. Whatever you need. Go to O'Mara's in Manassas.
O'Mara's Building in Love.
Where the management team will give you all the money you need for an evening of fun.
And don't forget, tonight's Senior Citizens Night. Right?
Yeah, yeah, with all the big kids.
Just bring your swollen prostate.
Oh, yeah. See, we'll do a gong show.
Get as many duels as you like.
Yeah, there's that young ass.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. JFJ. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Fresh corn on the cob is irresistible, especially at Safeway's low prices. This week we got Washington grown, Canada number one corn on the cob. Valley priced at three cobs for 88 cents. Doing it right. The more we're fucking alive. Sorry about this, I didn't know it was. Fucking goddamn Whitey produced. Commercials never come out the right way. Okay, Safeway's got everything. That's 88 cents for the corn and everything you need for a super summer barbecue, charcoal, starter napkins, and paper plates at Brockett Safeway.
Yeah.
The cure for your malaise. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, my Lord, did you see who I was just in here a moment ago there?
That is someone from our past, wow. And I have not seen him in a very long time.
Mr. 40 was just in here a second ago.
Right.
We did not invite him, rather,
okay,
to come in and panel today.
Come on, Ron. Stop shaking your head, man.
What? He took my wallet.
Anyway, Chuck was not drunk today.
No.
So we've invited Mr. 40. His real name is Chuck. Mm-hmm. We've invited him to come back.
And his brother?
And his brother, Grady Smoke.
Oh, they really are quite a team now.
Yeah, they are. And it's been a long time since we've had Mr. 40 on the show, so we'll have him come panel with us later this week when we play one of our reindeer games.
That will be fun.
Good to have Mr. 40 around.
Right.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Huh? Oh, it's the hold music guy. I know. I've got a question about the lineup.
Oh, good. You called her in.
Hello?
You have to ask the question, right? Oh, no, he has to stop it.
Hello? Call. Hold music guy.
He'll be with you shortly.
Plays with us, you know.
He really does play with us a lot. But your call is important to him.
We're going to have to move on if you don't pick up soon.
You got to pick up and give us the silence so we can ask the question and you can put the music back on. Now, come on now.
Hey, hello.
Why are you being difficult? He is a very difficult man.
Give me 5 more seconds there.
Oh, he played
with us.
He played.
5, 4, 3. Okay. Call back some other time. I like that phoner fine, but you got to play the game.
Play the game right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Mike, hey, fat boys, blooper. You want to play with me? You got to come to my level, bitch.
What the hell was that?
Was that a beluga call?
I don't know.
What about your girlfriend's dog?
I think that was a beluga. Oh, man. I just wanted to say I enjoyed hauling his fat ass through the airport yesterday. Jesus. I mean, I almost broke his back trying to cram him under the seat. They moved Carla on the plane. We were in an emergency row, and they had to move Carla to the back of the plane because she had the dog. And he actually dug a hole through his little doggy carrier.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Forgot to tell you that.
Hello. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yes, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hi. I was wondering if you got a chance to see Wanda Sykes at all.
Wanda Sykes, what, on New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
Wait, was she on with Regis?
No, she was on with the MTV guy.
This guy can't get by the way this guy's talking.
Napoleon, I was not able to catch it.
She was on with the MTV guy.
How old are you?
37.
Say! Do you live with your mother?
Wanda Sykes.
Like,
no.
I was wondering if you got a chance to see that dark-complected woman comic on with the MTV guy.
The way we're talking now is almost the way that we imitate Michael Hughes.
Almost.
You know, I think it would make this a better all-around experience with a piece of wine.
Wine would be better. Wine is good. A warm wine. Warm up a glass of wine, and then if you still want the sex, we're thinking of giving her a 25-minute radio program.
Okay. Now, this is way behind the scenes, but who cares?
You're playing inside baseball.
On the new Free FM, who cares with this lineup, who gives a frig? I was talking with Rob over the vacation.
Right.
About how ridiculous the lineup on the station is now. And I'd be amazed if anybody listens to the station. It's such a hodgepodge, I'm kidding, of course. It's a killer lineup. It's like the 61 Yankees.
Bingo.
So I said to Rob something along the lines of, you know, Hughes, who's the general manager, who had to sign off on this awful lineup that we're on now, he must just get drunk all the time. And I said to Rob, you know what? He's probably got his family convinced that they probably... He probably, before he comes to work in the morning, because remember, he's got to be the guy that sits at the desk and says, okay, here's the winning lineup.
We'll start with the Junkies, and then Peter Rosenberg for 2 hours, and then Bill O'Reilly for 2 hours, and then Penn Jillette for an hour, Donna Mike for four, Jay Severin for three, and then Loveline. Now, I know it's political talk, and there's some humor, and sports, and hardcore sex. You know what Daddy really needs this morning would be a glass of warm wine
for medicinal purposes. Now, let me add up what we've got here. It still doesn't make 24 hours, so let's add a few more shows.
You know, would you be a good boy and warm Daddy up some wine?
Put a little wine in a saucepan and warm it up for Daddy.
Now, did you fix Daddy's thermos?
Filled with warm wine.
Daddy's Free FM thermos.
Some people take soup to work.
It's
not as good as warm wine.
It's a long, cold ride. It's my warm wine.
This delicious, warm Chardonnay.
And, you know, around his house, when he's on the phone, like, with the executives, and I'm sure his family can tell, because it's mainly Hughes going,
yes, sir, no, sir, great idea, sir.
You know, that his family's got to be, like, hiding behind the door, uh-oh, Daddy's on the phone again. Warm up the wine.
Yeah. Honey, where's my wine mitten? I need my wine mitten. This is a little chilly.
Yeah, because the thought is, here's our thought process, that Hughes is such, Michael Hughes, the general manager, the de facto general manager, he is one of these guys, such a brown-nosing guy, want to do everything right for corporate. He couldn't be like Steve Johnson, who's just drunk every day at work.
No, we have that
already. And doesn't hide it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, you walk at the Seagum, oh, Miller Lite today?
Yeah.
You
know,
it's really easy. You got to figure out.
Thank you. We're going to the bowl.
Now, Michael Hughes, the general manager, I think he hides it. That what he does the wine thing.
To compensate for everything that he has to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with all of these awful decisions that he's had to put his rubber stamp on. So what he does is, I don't know why this struck me as funny, but this is over vacation. I said that to Rob. I said, what if, like, in the morning, when he goes down to breakfast, like, he got the whole perfect family sitting there, his wife, and they've got, like, waffles, and they've got, it's like the movie Pleasantville.
Right.
And they've got the gigantic food, and all of a sudden, where's Daddy's warm wine?
What?
Warm some wine. I like the saucepan idea. Fresh off the stove.
Gosh, it's 6:28 a.m. I'd like some warm Merlot. Good morning. I'm on a conference call. Yes, hold on. Just let me get my
The warmer, the better.
Did you warm? Oh, ow. Daddy's wine's too hot.
I want it warm, not hot.
Don't let it boil.
There's steam coming off it. That's too hot.
Just warm.
Make it warm.
Daddy's warm wine.
Delicious. Oh, no, none for me. I won't have a waffle. I'll just have a glass of warm wine.
Or maybe he does.
Anyone mind if I dunk?
Dunks his bagel in his warm wine.
That's delicious.
His mug of wine.
Daddy, why do you drink warm wine at breakfast?
Well, because Daddy's got a radio station that's got a lineup that's just really not the side I want to discuss it with you. I'll pass the Ernest and Julio.
Is it Ernest and Julio? Is
Ernest and Julio Gallo. It's right next to that warm bottle of Kendall Jackson.
Now, this is a very good chemistry experiment. Inside the box, it's made of foil. So you can't put the entire box in the microwave. Just put it in a saucepan, never boiling.
Oh, no, no bagel for me. Could I have another mug?
It doesn't sit well. The bagel's not sitting well.
Warm wine.
Why is it funny?
It's funny, I don't know.
Why is it funny?
Him drinking warm wine.
Unbelievable.
At breakfast. It is funny, though.
Time for another mug.
Because here's what it is. It's like this. You guys just be the family around the table talking. You be the wife, the son, the mother, and I'll be Hugh. You know.
Right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Michael Hughes. Yes, Joel. Yes. Can you hold on 1 second? Hey, Billy.
Yes.
Would you get Daddy some warm wine? Yes.
Joel's on the phone again.
Yes, Joel. Yes. Oh, no. It's a one-hour show. Can you hold on a moment,
please? Oh, dear. Pour your father some more wine.
Dirty, Dad. Not no. White wine. Never white wine before 7.
Pour him the red. Pour him the Pinot. And warm it up.
Warm it hot.
Make sure it's warm. Extra warm this morning. He's having a long call.
Great idea.
I agree.
All right. See you later.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Bye-bye.
Warm wine.
Honey, where's my travel mug?
Thermos. That's the mess. It's a Plaid thermos.
My free FM thermos. Oh, it's a great lineup. I mean, I could not be happier. I'm drinking warm wine virtually every morning now.
It's tasty.
It is. Refreshing. Like cancer.
How else can the guy look himself in the mirror?
That's right. Just plying himself with warm wine 24/7, just so he can make it through his days.
I mean, my God, he's got to get in the car and he's got to turn that. I mean, how do you look yourself in the mirror?
Mm-hmm.
You've got a result. You have to make the end result warm wine.
Right. Mm-hmm. Warm wine will make it all. You know, mm-hmm.
Everything is just fine with warm wine.
Hi, it's Michael Hughes for Warm Wine. You know, a lot of people enjoy wine as a late afternoon or evening with dinner drink. I say when you're under pressure, when you're mismanaging a major market radio station and you see your career slipping through your fingers because you're running a lineup that no one in God's name would listen to, the only answer is to drink warm wine.
I'll have the Western omelet, some wheat toast. Have you any warm wine?
A lot of people look at me strangely, but they were drinking warm wine years and years before Christ was born.
But whatever you do with your eggs, don't heat it up too much.
Never boiling.
No.
Yes, I would like the Grand Slam, over easy, an English muffin, and might you have warm wine?
The weird thing about warm wine is it makes your toothpaste taste funny.
I'll have Cocoa Puffs, a blueberry muffin, and a tureen of wine.
Warm.
Properly warm. That's how I make it through.
I like that wine. 99.7 degrees, please.
Never hot.
I put my pinky in it just right.
Thank you.
99.7. That might be the dial position of the next station we work at, kids. Oh, Daddy's got to put the Jay Severin show on tonight. Where's the warm wine?
I just got off the phone with El Zol. How about some Spanish warm wine? Mmm,
warm wine, and look, there's Matt Lauer on television. Delicious.
Here's a toast. Oh, look, Katie Couric has the same fag glasses on that I have on.
It's a starter.
Here's a toast.
A breakfast starter.
Where in the world is my warm wine?
Okay.
Just our little thought of how he starts his day.
How are you, everybody?
Hi.
Regis, we got a break again. I'm sorry about that. Just we've had too much show today.
We've had too much warm wine.
We will come back with the tapes of Regis from the and also Dick Clark.
Yes,
I've been told that both are equally good. That even though Regis has not had a stroke, Regis is just as retarded sounding as Dick Clark.
Hello, do you sell heated Pinot Grigio? Not too hot. I can do it, Joel. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Good morning. Nothing, just waiting for your call. And regular kitchen sounds. Honey, where is the wine? The uncorker.
Just rub it between your hands. That'll warm it up enough. Body temperature wine.
Warm wine.
Yes. All day. All day out of a thermos. It's soup. Leave me alone. Close that door, please.
Colette, no calls. Warm my wine.
Colette, hold my calls for the next 2 hours. We're having a tasting.
Well, it's simply the greatest lineup in the history of radio, and he's the architect of it, and we can just say we're proud to be a part of of this right here. And please, for the love of God, remember you're listening to the Don and Mike Show.
Right here.
Don't forget that on Free FM, because Jesus Christ, God knows you're not going to be coming back listening to the station later tonight.
Remember our slogan.
Remember it right now and don't forget it.
Don and Mike, now more than ever. We really do need you.
Yes, bring it.
Warm wine.
Ooh.
Where's my warm wine?
That's tasty.
That's wonderful.
Bran muffin and a nice, delicious bottle of Kendall Jackson.
We'll be back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
So I became...
What?
Bulimic.
You can read minds.
The Don and Mike Show.
Very scary, kids. And I'm not kidding you this time. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, let's see. What did we not get to today? It's Elvis's birthday. Well, yesterday was Elvis's birthday.
Right.
We did not get to E2E today.
Yeah, that's a shame.
I hate starting the year 2006 without E2E.
We needed that today.
Tomorrow, the funny button will be on, because not only tomorrow will we have E2E, but we'll also have How About That?
Double dipping.
How about that? plus, as we go on the show, the return of Mr. 40 and Grady Smoke.
Yes.
Let me see. We will check in with Beth Ann McBride.
Good.
We'll call her live on the air on her radio show to see how she's doing.
Wonderful.
While we were on vacation, Howard Stern was whoring his thing with Larry King. We've got the tape of that.
Oh, wonderful.
But we really don't even need the tape. We can
do
the recreation ourselves.
That's right. You like the satellites?
For May.
Let's
save it till tomorrow.
Exactly.
Plus, we'll have a life update from JPS. My name is Earl, my brother Jim.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And also, James Brown from Fox NFL Sunday.
Good.
Will be on the show this week. Cool. And we've got tape of, again, we don't have time for it today, tape of Jim Nancy yesterday from the Pittsburgh game, where he sounds like he's about to cry when Carson Palmer goes down on the second play of the game.
Tough thing for Cincinnati.
Hey guys, look, ow, on the second play, a 63-yard completion.
He gets excited and he yells, and Sims gets excited and sounds stupid.
But the big thing that we didn't get to today that everybody else has already heard is the tapes of Dick Clark having his stroke during the New Year's Eve thing. Now, Mike saw it, Rob saw it, Buzz saw it. I'm not seeing it. Here we go. So this would be my first reaction hearing this. Dick Clark welcoming everyone to 2006 Rockin' New Year's Eve.
Thank you, Ryan, very much. It's really good to be back with you again this year.
You got it all right there.
See?
That's the deal. They tried to tell you. See? Were we right?
Oh, he's had a seat. He's sitting down.
Were we right? Yeah. Don may be having a stroke now. I don't know.
Now, here's the thing. Now, why would they let him go out like that?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I was thinking this today. If there is a rehab program where he is going to keep doing it, but it doesn't sound like this is it.
Yeah.
This is what people are going to remember, and it's unfortunate because he is the icon.
Do you remember the hype before we left where they were saying, Dick Clark's not going to say anything publicly. He's going to save it all until New Year's Eve,
mm-hmm.
and you are going to be blown away when you find how great he speaks, how eloquently he
Nobody
speaks.
Could have expected this. No. Nobody, you know, everybody expected maybe there'd be some speech issues, but nothing like this.
And the thing that I remember about him is that he was always right in the thick of it. He had those huge headphones. And
right.
The wind would be blowing, and he was right there.
They put him inside.
In a studio.
They put him inside in the Good Morning America set.
At a table that goes up to his chest.
Yes.
So all right, you see is from here up.
Okay. I had no idea. I had no idea. And again, I know we're late on this. Sorry, we were gone last
week. He's motionless, so he's doing this. And he seems to be trying so hard that he's speaking too quickly, and it gets away from him a little bit.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Ryan, very much. It's real good to be back with you again this year. Last year, I had a stroke. Not being in kind of bad shape. I did teach myself how to walk and talk all over again. It was a long, hard fight. My speech is not perfect, but I'm getting there. Now, you and I have been a part of each other's lives for so many New Year's Eves.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How can you not remember if he's never on TV again? This is what everybody's going to remember.
But I wouldn't have missed this for the world. My thanks to everybody who made it possible for me to be here tonight. It's going to be a great night, full of fun, full of excitement, full of color, and just the happiest time in all of my life. Thank you once again for being with us and me with you.
A guy who didn't age for 50 years has suddenly aged 50 years.
All right, here he is with Mariah Carey.
Greed is good. I mean, he was so charming the way he said it with the hair slicked back.
You know, you know what? No, Kirk Douglas is the winner in this.
Oh, yeah.
Kirk Douglas is like, hello, how are you doing? This is Cary Grant. You look wonderful today. I mean, compare. Here's Dick.
Welcome back to New Year's Rockin' Eve. Now, get ready for a history-making event. The first live music...
I'm sorry. What was that?
It's hard not to.
I'm not sorry. I read the accounts.
Mm-hmm. It was.
I read it was embarrassing, and then other people said that he showed great strength.
No, you got to. Yes, does it take courage to come on and do that? Yes, it does. But
no
it was
idea.
Everybody. The mood with everybody that I was watching it with, it was kind of a bummer.
Yeah,
because
very much
we
so.
Think of Dick Clark as Mr. The teenager.
Shocking and depressing.
No idea.
Shocking and depressing.
In Times Square on this show in 34 years, and having Mariah Carey as the performer makes it even more exciting. There's a virtual sea of Mariah Carey fans. This has to be one of the biggest audiences ever assembled, including Woodstock. Ron, the introduction is yours.
Thank you, boss.
Okay.
My goober suddenly appeared. Every time.
This guy's not that as strong.
You are me.
Dennis Murphy.
Got my knee. They long to be close to you.
Well, we're getting closer to midnight, and everybody is starting to look to one spot, high atop number one Times Square. And that's because we're just minutes away from the lowering of the giant ball.
Like me, they long to be close to you.
Boy, oh boy, we have been dreaming this season for the last 34 years. And I can tell you, there is no place like being at the crossroads of the world on New Year's Eve.
My God.
It's quite a party, Ryan. It never changes. The best organized, happiest group of people in the world.
Oh, God.
All around. Just like me, they want to be close to you.
Well, here in New York, we're enjoying the great music out in Hollywood. It's been a great tradition for this show. Years and years, bringing you the best music around. And with that in mind, it's time for another song from a very, very talented... talented, lovely lady. Ladies and gentlemen, Hilary Duff.
On the day that you were born and you got together.
Okay. Jesus. We got 35 cuts.
Yeah, everything he said.
Okay. You know, we're going to have to just wait and come back to this. Because I had no idea it was as rich and as full as it was.
It's as rich as hot red wine.
My God. Some warm wine.
You know what? An unusual thing has happened. Undoubtedly, somebody made a New Year's resolution tonight. You're not alone. One of the most popular in modern times, usually quit smoking. But so many people have done that in the last 10 years that the number one these days is lose weight. 4,000 years ago, it was Richard Bald Farmer Cooper. We'll be right back.
Yeah, I don't know. And imagine that on a little TV that I was watching it on.
Used to be stop smoking. Now the number one resolution is stop stroking.
Yes, it was something to behold. It was appalling.
Okay, we are going to have to revisit these tapes tomorrow.
Yes, I knew you would.
I'm sorry. No, we don't have time. We got to go to Buzz.
Not even Regis singing with joy?
If you want a little bit.
Just the tapes.
Which is a true suck fest.
I didn't see this.
Sing-along?
Regis and Joy singing.
All right, Joy, is this everything I told you was going to be?
You know, Regis, the lengths I go to just to get a date on New Year's Eve.
And what I have to do to get my annual kiss. Big night for me.
Well, don't count on it, because I'm turning to ice as we speak.
Ooh, that's a bad sign. Joy, one more Panasonic sing-along. Let's pretend this is our one to win.
The hell is this?
Okay? I know it stopped snowing.
Joy, I'd love to bang you tonight.
Hey, Reed. Okay. Good idea. Hurry up. My lips are getting cold.
Oh, that's a bad sign. Come on, roll that music.
Let's... Her lips are getting cold. She didn't mean the ones on her mouth.
Winter Wonderland. Lyrics are up there.
Open.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening?
This man has not had a stroke.
No, it's listening.
A beautiful sight. We're happy tonight.
Jesus. I mean, I defy anybody to turn TV on New Year's Eve and not come away bummed out.
It's quite a party, Ryan. It never changes. The best, organized, happiest group of people in the world.
Oh. Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
and then you come away from that, that's what you'll remember, and that pisses me off.
Okay, tomorrow we'll come back to that. Listen, new for 2006.
Yes.
Dig on this.
Come on and buzz a little, sing a little, sing a little.
It's a different mix.
Sing a little bit with
that's like right
song.
From the movie, right?
Buzz,
correct.
Buzz, a little dope. A little buzz, a little.
Sing a little.
Bit with me. Oh, ho.
Time for news and comments.
Aha.
With Buzz.
La, 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 la. Oh, ho.
Here we go. Tra la 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 la. There we go.
All right.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
verboten,
one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
That's me.
He made it up.
It was Buzz.
All the people are starting to leave the square now. Many of them have been here since 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Oh, my God. Buzz.
Yeah.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi.
Buzz a little. Buzz, what's your lead story? What are the lead stories on news and comments tonight?
Tonight, the White House scrambles to bury some pictures of the president, why the government should read your mail, and how Walmart linked African Americans to apes.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Okay, well, stay tuned, everybody. Hold on a second.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Well, as you know, every year we have a big Hollywood party, and this year may be the biggest lineup of talent ever.
God. How come nobody warned me it was that bad?
I tried to. You were on a boat.
Anyway, that was
right.
That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Okay, what's up with that? I heard that already.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Okay.
Up, handsome man, recaps news in pleasing baritone.
Stay tuned for this and more.
Your favorite ad is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hold on a second. I found a tape that we've been playing last week, I guess, of Rob's daughter, Julia.
Oh, this is great.
And I see no reason why we cannot start to use Julia the way that we use Bart for many years. For instance, you know, Bart, who will be 21 in March.
Right.
Here's a tape of Bart from when he used to play this almost every day on the show.
Peggy and Stevens, don't be so tight. Give my daddy more money.
Okay, so that's how we used to whore Bart out. Listen to how Rob whored Julia out last week. This is great.
Don and Mike will be back Monday, so cool it. Thank you.
One take.
There you go.
Better than her old man.
One take.
She's a pro. That's her. One take, Julia. And now here is Buzz Girdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. If the government was really reading your mail, more credit card executives would go to prison than terrorists. And they'd see a lot of Victoria's Secret catalogs.
Oh, Buzz?
Yes?
I wanted to tell you something.
Why?
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Thank you, I wish you didn't. But some people still do write letters, and the government's been reading some of those letters without a warrant. Just before the holidays, we learned the government had been illegally wiretapping the phone conversations of American citizens on the post-9/11 orders of President Bush. That revelation made lawmakers so angry they denied the president some of the powers he wanted made permanent in the Patriot Act. Now it's the mail, like the letters an 81-year-old college professor from Kansas got from his Filipino friend, pre-opened and resealed by Homeland Security. But it didn't stop there. Homeland Security also put the old guy under surveillance and found nothing but his privacy.
Surveillance.
The government says it has the right to read all the mail coming into and going out of this country.
Say this, Ben.
This makes some Americans uncomfortable, according to a new poll. The Associated Press survey shows that 56% of us think the government should stick to the Constitution and get court approval before tapping our phones.
I tell you what's important.
What?
What's really important is right here.
Warm
the
wine?
The good people at the Coca-Cola Bottling Company from Atlanta know that I love Diet Vanilla Coke, and they're dropping that. They are coming out with Diet Black Cherry Vanilla.
Sounds good.
And here we go.
Okay, this is it. It's happening right now. Came into the office today.
A big moment. It's been chilled for 3 hours.
They overnighted it, and the answer is...
Yes.
What do you think?
You need to take another hit?
Yeah.
You should, really. Clear the palate. And... That's right. Drink it down.
It's good.
Good.
You like it?
It's good.
He declared it good.
How good?
Not as good as regular Diet Vanilla Coke, but certainly better than having to go back to Diet Cherry Coke.
I would prefer White Cherry.
Hello there, Rob. This is a Black Cherry Vanilla. Anyway, thank you to the Coca-Cola
You like
company.
It? Very
yeah,
nice.
I do. Yep.
Okay, Coca-Cola, send the cases now.
Back
the truck up to the building.
Bring it on.
Boy, was that good.
So you did dig it.
Yeah, it's good. I look forward to it. And now let's get back to more more stomping on necks.
Yes, thank you. The survey showed that most Americans are against, without a court order, this wiretapping and mail reading, but other Americans take a different view. 42% of us agree with the president. We're at war, skip the court order. The poll shows this 42% to be mostly Republican and mostly older. Some of them said the illegal wiretapping and mail reading made them feel safer. Of course, as one eavesdropper at the National Security Agency puts it, we could all be suspected terrorists.
Boy, am I retarded. You know, you are educating us about a story that's very important.
Yeah.
I swear to God, all I'm thinking about is...
Well, of course.
That cool liquid.
It's goddamn...
The bold, refreshing flavor.
This is good, but why do they tease me?
What do you mean?
You know what it's like?
Oh, see, he's gone beyond that. You may be approaching Vanilla Coke territory because you're starting to really dig that flavor.
It's... Just like, you know what this is? This is a gateway beverage.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is.
Well, they're pushing you. They're the candy man. This one's free.
The people at Coca-Cola, what they did, they give me the first one for free.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, before it's on the shelves.
Mm-hmm. Rub a little on your gums.
We'll send it to you.
That's a good one, Rob.
I'm surprised you even know about that.
I read about it in a book.
Just a warning, the carbonation will burn your sinuses.
Anyway, boy, it's good. It is good. God, are they advertising with us? They must be advertising again.
I think that's because we tried to chase an interview with them last month. Remember, we had to
way.
Cancel it?
Mm, boy, that's good. Huh? Diet, cherry, well, black, vanilla.
Not black vanilla.
Wouldn't that be something?
Diet Coke, black, cherry. First off, here's the thing. The taste is great. The name will never work.
Hold the thing up a little higher. It's cumbersome.
People will never order Diet Coke, black, cherry, vanilla.
They never know. It's all about the flavor.
Mm-hmm. Make it like Diet Coke, BCV. That works for me.
I like it.
Sounds like a show that would be like on Law and Order.
Right. Law and
Special
Order.
Special victim soda.
Law and Order, BCV. That's right. And during the football games yesterday.
Criminal beverage.
During the football games, they ran the ads for whatever the investment company is with the actor from Law and Order.
Oh, yeah. Sam Waterston, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Smith Barney, I think.
If it still doesn't drive me crazy that they do the camera angle of him from the side where it's, you know, they want to be so avant-garde
that's right.
Him looking right into the camera for like 30% of the commercial where he says, why do you make these trades with a broker? Why not do it yourself? And then to show that they're different and avant-garde, you get like an NYPD Blue / MTV 10 years ago angle where the camera's sideways and he's standing off at a jaunty angle, and it just pisses me off. But he's great on Law and Order.
Well, the commercials I love are the ones with the daredevil. Have you seen those? With the I'm now going to stay at work 2 minutes past closing time on a Friday.
Have you seen the one, not as funny, but where he says, I am now going to sit at this table with hot chicks.
I'm
going to
have lunch with my girlfriend and not look at the
hot chicks.
Hot chicks? It's fantastic.
Pretty good.
And while the White House wants to see your stuff, it doesn't want you to see its stuff. After Jack Abramoff pleaded guilty to buying off lawmakers, the White House scrambled to cover his tracks at the White House.
Doesn't that sound like a name that we would use? Like, you know, Major...
Hey, don't be a Jack Abramoff.
Major Woody or,
Aging Jack Abramoff.
Yeah, right.
Time Magazine
Michael Hunt.
And what's the deal with that guy's hats? Why is he wearing so many hats?
I think he looks good in them.
Every time he's going into the courthouse, he's like got a suit on, but he's wearing stupid hats.
Yeah, well, he won't wear them in prison. Time Magazine reports that the president's people got a list from Secret Service of all the names, all the times, rather, that Abramoff had visited the White House. And the White House started ditching photographs that show the president with the former lobbyist at Christmas and Hanukkah parties at the White House.
Uh-oh.
Quoting presidential spokesman Scott McClellan, the president does not know him, nor does the president recall ever meeting him.
Are you ready for some football?
I wish I knew how to quit you.
But more crooked lawmakers may be going down in the Abramoff scandal. An FBI memo says the case is far from over, indicating there are even bigger fish to fry. That memo from the head of the Washington field office says the case is about, quote, the very integrity of our government.
What an Abramoff.
And quoting the head of the Bureau's criminal division, we are going to chase down every lead. Another FBI insider says the Bureau has a lot of evidence to work with.
I'm not a political guy, Don, but I think that this story is turning this town on its ear.
Honey, listen, I was just listening to Don and Mike, and they're finally buying into it. I hear them talking about a jack-off guy, and where's my warm wine?
Warm wine, please.
I'm so happy that Don and Mike are finally buying into my plan of political mediocrity on the radio. It's so fantastic. Where's my warm wine?
Michael Hughes, general manager of Free FM.
Celebrating. Corruption and the Iraq War aside, wiretapping might be a good reason to impeach the president the way Wisconsin Senator Russ Feingold sees it. And apparently a lot of his constituents agree with him because his popularity in his district has increased since he started using the I word. Quoting Russ, there needs to be accountability. He says impeachment is, quote, an orderly and dignified way to find out what happened. The senator agrees we have to, quote, do everything we can to protect the American people. But quoting Feingold, we can do that without undermining the constitutional rights which have made us a free country.
I thought the I word was itch.
Well, some, it can be. But in this case,
iPod.
It is for me. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
iPod.
5 days on a cruise ship, I only brought one bathing suit with me.
Oh, well, that's Gridley Town right there.
And, you know, you get that mesh happening down by, you know.
You get a little chafing.
Well, yeah, because I itched a little bit, you know, and I did that thing where I was sitting up on the top deck and no one was up there, so I just put my hand right down my bathing trunks and just, like, was scratching and rearranging.
Pinch and curl.
Yeah, and then, because no one was watching.
Right.
You know, smell my fingers.
Should have gone for a rental.
rental suit. Oh, God.
At the community pool.
Sure.
A rental suit.
Something gray.
Rental
dark.
Mesh.
Classy guy I am. I am a gigantic cruise ship. I'm up on the 11th level, which is supposed to be for topless sunbathing, and nobody's up there topless sunbathing.
Hey, it looks like somebody spilled some orange soda on this mesh.
Well, I'm up there scratching, and there's dried flakes.
Oh, God.
Had a lot of chafing happening.
I'll bet.
Well, it's the humidity.
Vice President Dick Cheney was in and out of the hospital today. Discuss that among yourselves until we return.
Oh, all right. Thank you, Buzz. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crestfire?
The Don and Mike Show.
More than 6, but less than 12. The Don and Mike Show.
Go back to Buzzito now. Hi, Buzz.
Oh, hi, there, Mike.
Hi,
Don and Mike.
Hi.
Vice President Dick Cheney was hospitalized early this morning for shortness of breath.
Can I have the jambalaya, please?
He was released 4.5 hours later when doctors determined he doesn't need oxygen. Actually, Cheney's shortness of breath was due to water retention, which increased pressure on his heart and lungs. They gave him a diuretic, which means he spent a good deal of his day in an undisclosed men's room. Cheney had
to suck the jelly out of the jelly donut and then fill it with chocolate swirl ice.
And this is all because of his bad foot, right?
He was taking some medication for his foot, and that caused the water retention, which made pressure on his heart, which he can't afford.
But nobody knows what the deal is with the foot. They don't disclose what the real problem is, you know, whether it's gout or something like that.
They say it's not.
I think gout. Yeah. Gout is like Ben Franklin disease.
Rent the movie Nothing in Common.
Yes. Yeah.
With Tom Hanks and Jackie Gleason.
Right.
And wait until Jackie Gleason takes his shoe off.
And he goes down, he drops something on the floor, and Tom Hanks goes down and sees his blue toes.
What he needs to do is follow the advice of a great American, James Brown, and he needs to get on the good foot.
Get on the good foot. Hey.
Cheney couldn't take the pressure on his heart. He's had 4 heart attacks, quadruple bypass surgery, 2 angioplasties, and a pacemaker implant. Other than that, he's all heart. Arkansas-based Walmart is blaming a computer glitch for its website directing buyers of... It was directing buyers of Planet of the Apes videos to videos of the late civil rights leader Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. One of those things like you see on Amazon, only this was Walmart, and it said if you like this video, then you'll probably like these. It also directed Planet of the Apes buyers to videos about actress Dorothy Dandridge, boxer Jack Johnson, and singer Tina Turner. A Walmart spokeswoman describes the company as heartsick, and she says the site is being overhauled. Quoting her, we are deeply sorry.
Hugs are great.
She says,
this is Robert the Mailman.
Hi, Robert.
She says the company's investigating what it believes to be a random error. Huh? It says buyers of Macaulay Culkin's Home Alone also directed buyers to African-American biographies. For now, Walmart's online video buyers are getting no recommendations on that
website. This you should not do. You should not say he's an animal. Should not say he's Jacko. I'm not a Jacko. I'm Jackson.
How do you feel when they call you
Wacko Jacko? Where'd that come from? Some English tabloid. I have a heart and I have feelings. I feel that when you do that to me. It's not nice. No. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Now, buying Macaulay's video should have led you to Michael Jackson's video.
How's the Middle East going?
Iran.
Yeah, that's where he is. Next time you go into outer space for a vacation, if you're planning on taking bombs or other weapons with you, think again, my friend.
You know where I'm going?
Where?
Uranus.
Well, you're going to have to go through a metal detector first.
Make sure you're not wearing the rental suit.
The FAA, having solved all the safety and security problems with airplanes, is now setting its sights on space travel. It's doing this because Virgin Air is talking about taking tourists into space within the next 10 years. The government wants to make sure none of the tourists are terrorists bent on using the spacecraft as a weapon. The FAA is telling companies to check their passengers against the already extensive no-fly list. It also wants the space companies to keep teaching passengers what to do with the oxygen masks in the case of a loss of cabin pressure.
I want to do that. You know, I would, if I had the money, I would do that.
Right.
I can picture myself now. I'd be on the ship. It would be taken off. And then I'd have to go to the bathroom real bad. Uh-huh. Right as we got, like, to the, I don't know, one of the rings of Saturn. And I'd be going...
Open the door.
You're going to have to try harder than
open
that.
Open the door.
You got to shake it a little harder. Come on now.
It's the rings of Saturn.
Come on now.
You know, but I gotta,
really start shaking.
Listen, if I do not get in there soon. And anyway, that's how we always end up at Uranus.
I love that sound.
Now, when we come back, a delightful case of back-to-school food poisoning.
That's a good piece. Okay, Buzz.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. Pigs love mud, and you love Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hi there, bud.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Finally, in Oklahoma City, some kids returned to school after the holidays and were delighted to see burgers in the cafeteria. What they didn't know until it was too late was the burgers had been left out during the entire holiday break.
Pretty good.
Oh, it gets better. They'd been stored on a tray in a warmer alongside some leftover fish sandwiches. Students realized the problem as soon as they'd taken a bite. Other students ate the whole burger.
Smells like the locker room at the ladies' locker room here at Free FM.
Yes, the Free FM ladies' loo. Some of the kids are already sick with diarrhea. The others are just nervous.
Smells like diarrhea around here, too.
And in Racine, Wisconsin, funny you should mention
the
that.
The lineup, Mike.
In Racine, Wisconsin, someone's been dumping dirty adult diapers in a ditch near Jenny Van Poole's house.
God.
Jenny says she wants to put up a sign that says, "Want me to take a blank in your yard?"
And then I sat and really worked it.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
I don't think it was Ed McMahon.
Might have been, but the signs probably won't do any good. Her neighbor put up a big wooden sign that reads, "Take your ass home with you." But as soon as that sign went down, the diapers were back, dumped there in the middle of the night. Quoting Jenny's daughter-in-law, "The whole thing I don't get is, why would you have poopy diapers in the car?" Well, I think that depends. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No. All right, that's just another great hitter in the Yankees lineup is coming up next year on Free FM in Washington.
Yes, sirree, the 61 Yankees.
Listen, I think the guy is doing tonight on the Jay Severin show, I think it's What's the Punchline? Where I think the gig is like, oh, I know what it is. He gives you the punchline, and you have to call up with the setup.
Name the joke.
Right. Okay. Mike, that's it.
It's one of his oldest bits.
Also, he's doing Choose Your News tonight.
That's very, very exciting.
And stay tuned for the Top 5 at 10.
Top 5 at 10. All that. And Battle of the Bands. So
very, very exciting.
It'll be a great night tonight and the greatest lineup in the history of radio. Everybody go home and warm up some wine.
And if you like the Scandalogical...
He works blue.
Yeah.
We got to fly. We'll see you tomorrow. Back here at Radio Titanic.
Yeah.
Good day to you, sir.
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 Where's my warm wine? I'm the king of the world.
Tasty.
Robbie.
Tell Pat I'm ready for my pill.
Okay.
Where's my hair?
Bye.
Till we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.